The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Yeah. And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting closer to the home opener for the New England Patriots here at Gillette Stadium. I can't wait. I know the fans can't wait. It is going to be crazy. San Diego Chargers coming to town. And like Bill has said before, it kind of feels like you're in your own division when you're playing San Diego or Pittsburgh or the Colts. You know, it just seems that the Patriots have played, you know.
When do we get a producer?
Yeah. The Patriots have played these guys, you know, so often over the last 10 years. And when they do, it always seems like a big game.
And, go yourself, San Diego.
There's no exception here. This is a big game. Patriots don't want to lose their home opener. And San Diego,
big for San Diego.
Yeah.
With their early season struggles, if they can start 2-0, one of which is a win over the Patriots on the road, that's huge.
That's huge
that
for
will,
them.
That will help them immensely, not just on paper, you know, tiebreakers, but I think mentally. This is not the same old San Diego team. We're not going to have to make a run late to try to make the playoffs.
And, you know, it kind of looked like last week or on Sunday that they might start the season 0-1. They
right.
had to come from behind and win that game. So, you know, they got a little momentum coming in here. And I think we talked about this yesterday. There's certain teams on every team's schedule that they circle them. Pittsburgh, Colts. Maybe not this year, Patriots, Packers. You know, these are the elite teams. Chargers are in there, too.
Number one offense, number one defense.
So I'm excited. Guys, what's happening? Paul's here. Andy's here. Matt's in the booth. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio deep in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. You guys just came from the locker room. What are they doing in there?
It's a boring locker room.
Boring?
Early on, there
There's
was
no one there.
Zero players in there. Then a few people spoke. I had a nice chat with Patrick Chung. Devin McCourty talked. We chatted with Gronk 2.0, joking about his brother's appearance on the Toucher and Rich program this morning on 98.5 in Boston. But not a lot. Chad Ochocinco came in, and the media converged on him. And he's, you know I ain't talking. That was about it. Brady came in, and I thought people were going to make a run at him, but I think they were actually making a run at Deion Branch.
Who, really? Who politely declined?
Friday. Get you on Friday.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Not a lot of I think Friday has become kind of a wide receiver day. Everybody's loose on Friday, and those wide receivers talk on
I know
Fridays.
Welker talks on Fridays.
Yeah,
a lot.
I think that's become a wide receiver thing. But it was a pretty quiet locker room, Fred. You didn't miss much.
James
Ahedebo
spoke.
James Ahedebo spoke.
Okay.
I wasn't in on that because.
Nor was I. I think Eric was.
I had no interest.
All right, so I mean, we can talk about the topics that sprung up today, yesterday. Because
I give us credit. You know what? I give us credit.
Okay, but before
we
that,
we didn't make a big deal out about the Brady thing yesterday, while everybody else did. I don't think a big deal should have been made about.
And we
it.
Knew about it, and we were talking about it amongst ourselves,
oh, yeah,
but
just,
we chose not to really talk about it on the air because
it was nothing.
I don't think it was all that big a deal.
Well, I mean, if anyone you know just woke up from a coma, Tom Brady did his usual Wednesday scrum at his locker, and really jokingly, because I watched the video. He was laughing when he said it, and the reporters laughed when he said it. You know, hey, get here early, drink early, get lubed up, make a lot of noise. And he was laughing when he said it. But, you know, certain media members decided to, you know, make a big deal about that he was condoning getting drunk and all this stuff. And it's really nonsense.
Right.
What, are you kidding me?
You know,
the bigger issue for Patriots and Patriots fans is they feel a need to ask the fans to be an active participant in the game. That's the bigger long-term issue.
And we've talked about that, you know, for years.
Decades.
And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. You know, you can blame the configuration of the stadium, whatever, but I feel it was that way in the old Foxborough Stadium, and, you know, I don't think there's any excuse. I think a lot of fans are kind of just there observing, and they're not, you know, and they have a right to do that. They paid their money. They can watch a football game any way they want, but they're not active participants
right.
like in Pittsburgh and Kansas City. You know, and I'm not even talking about the dome stadiums because that's not fair. They have their own built-in sound system. But, you know, the outdoor stadiums that we've been at that are really loud, Green Bay, they know what to do and when to do it. And I don't think our fans are less educated. I just think they're maybe easier distracted.
And
I'm
the team
sure.
is well aware of it. We've seen it over the years. And heading into this game, my understanding is Bill has desired for the crowd to be active, and I think that the Brady comment came from Bill wanting an active crowd, and kind of the spokesman for that is Tom Brady. Clearly he could have chosen a better way to express that without having to bring in the alcohol and the
right.
But I still think it's way too sensitive in this world about everything. And
I know. And you know, Brady knows, because when he's on the road he feels it,
right?
And that's why he's saying, hey, how come, you know, it's not as loud at my place and hurting the other quarterback?
Right.
You know, that's where that comes from, and it's genuine. It's mm-hmm. not fabricated. This
no.
is this is a real need. And Patriots fans that are at the game need to make noise. Forget about Paul, who's sitting behind you yelling at you to sit down. You need to stand up when the Patriots are on defense and make noise.
I don't tell people to sit down.
Well, you don't sit
down. I don't
anymore.
Stand, but I don't tell people to sit down.
You don't tell people to sit down?
And punches them in the back of the head.
No, I think what you do as a fan, is that's your right. I mean, as long as you're not, like, breaking the law or anything.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want to get up and yell, that's your right. Third down, you
basically,
you know,
the challenge has been issued by Belichick and Brady.
No question.
Help us. This is a big early season game against maybe one of the better teams in the AFC. We need you. We need you to be an active participant. It's similar to, in a different way, what Rex Ryan did.
Absolutely.
He called everybody, but it's the same thing. It's a call to the fans to do your job as fans, help us win, have an impact.
And the Jets, there's another example of, I think the Jets fans get really loud. Problem with Jets fans is they turn real quickly, too. You know, they're
so do Patriots fans.
Well, yeah, but the Jets fans aren't perfect. I would not put them up with Kansas City or Steelers in terms of outdoor noise in a stadium. You
well,
know,
I think Kansas City is the measuring stick.
Well, they're,
I think,
you know,
they're the best.
Yeah, they know what to do. The other issue that is still being talked about, we know Teddy Bruschi criticized Chad Ochocinco for his tweet about being in awe. Rodney Harrison jumped on yesterday, and he was on a radio station. I think it was an ESPN station in Cleveland, and he kind of reiterated the same thing. I'm kind of going back and forth on it now.
I'm not.
Where do you come down?
I think it's natural. I think it's honest. I think it's from the heart for Bruschi. I think he would have said the exact same thing in the locker room behind closed doors. I just don't agree with it. I think he fixated on a word in awe that he wasn't part of the offense that first game. He saw something great. He commented on it. I just don't see it as a big deal. I don't.
You know, I usually don't read emails this early, but because we're on this topic, a fellow named Dick from Las Vegas writes in.
Hey, Dick.
He has to laugh at the man's name.
That's what he does.
He says, when Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison were Patriot players, they both kept their mouths shut and played very well. It's the Patriot way. No distractions. End of story. Now, since both Teddy and Rodney are both paid talking heads, paid to be interesting to their listeners, do you think they are creating distractions opposite to the Patriot way?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't
just said I think this is 100% from the heart, organic, true Teddy Bruschi.
But it is ironic.
But I don't think it's a distraction.
The very team that they're in, Teddy and Rodney are still loyal to the Patriots. Let's face it.
I mean, they will come out and say things, but when it comes down to picking games, they're picking the Patriots. Right?
Yes, in picking, but I think Teddy Bruschi has a little me in him. I just think he pops off and says what is in his
but
head.
But I would still say they're loyal. They are. It's ironic in that the team that they're still loyal to and owe so much, they're now hurting.
But you don't, well, I don't think he calculated it.
I actually think it's the opposite.
I think it annoyed Tom Brady. I think.
Oh, I don't. I think that was. I'm not with you, Fred. I'm not with Andy on this. I think it's harmless. So we agree on that. I think that it's more calculated than it's being given credit for. I think this is a good thing for the Patriots, and I think that they're going to use it to their advantage. I think they like those kinds of things.
I think Brady was annoyed, just like last year. Mayo was annoyed.
You're operating under the assumption he didn't know it was coming. I do. I think it was.
I think he was annoyed, just like Mayo was annoyed last year when he said, you know, people that aren't here in this locker room don't know what's going on.
But you think the general message was coming?
Yes.
I mean, because the specific
tweet set him off. And that was genuine because that came in live when he was actually on the air, and that's what led to it. But I think that there have been some conversations between Bruschi and certainly Bill, but maybe even some players that, you know, like Tom, that he's been around and been friendly with and been through the wars with. And I think that this is the message that Teddy had coming out of those talks, and this sparked something in Teddy, and I think that's what set him off. Now, Andy thinks it was not like that. Andy thinks it was 100% genuine and organic and came just from the tweet. Maybe he's right. I'm not
from the tweet and from his
vibe.
Philosophy that has been built by being here.
Yeah. Now,
you know, there's a hint of what you're saying because you can take the guy out of the Patriots locker room, but you can't take what Bill has beaten into him over the last decade out of his head.
Yeah, and I understand where Teddy and Rodney's coming from. You don't want anyone who's on the team in awe of what you're doing. You want them involved, and when you're involved, you understand and you expect it to happen because that's what you practice.
What I would like
to know, I think it was so innocent of what Chad does. Not everyone tweets the way Chad tweets.
Yeah.
And I think it was just an extension of what he always does.
Right.
You know, when he said he was in heaven, it didn't mean that he wasn't really in heaven. Yeah, it didn't mean that he wasn't going to be studying his game book and just kind of looking at this from afar.
Yeah.
That's just who he is. And I think he went a little overboard. I understand what he's saying, but I don't think that's what Chad is just like, you know, glassy eyed and not able to function because he's, you know, blinded by the glare of greatness.
Right.
You know, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I think all three of us are in agreement on that. I don't think that's the case. And I think it was an innocent thing. And he was impressed. And I think that he was showing that, like, how much I think in a weird way, he was sort of saying, how great is it to be here and be part of this?
And is it really any different than, I mean, Moss said that about Brady and, you know, to play with Tommy and the greatness.
I can't imagine.
He just didn't tweet it and use the word awe, maybe, but the same message is stated by a lot of people when they come here, right?
How many times have I, you know, we like to talk to offensive linemen after good offensive games. Andy and I both do it. Logan Mankins is one of our favorites. Dan Copen has been very good. I can't tell you how many times they've said stuff like that to me.
Right.
Like, where Copen will say something like, you know, that's just 12. That's what he does, you know? And, you know, it's amazing, but that's what he does. You know, and maybe he didn't use the word awe. And maybe, you know, at this point when guys like Matt Light and Mankins and Copen have been around it so much, they're used to it now. But basically, they're saying the same thing, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he does.
But they're not Ocho. They're not a lightning rod for criticism.
They didn't use the word awe.
And they didn't use the word awe, and they didn't say that they were surprised by anything that happened. I couldn't agree with you guys more. I think it was an innocent tweet. And in this age now, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago when Teddy was in his prime, this wouldn't have happened because you wouldn't have had this vehicle to do this in.
The bigger issue that I think Teddy and Rodney are trying to wrestle with is, why isn't Chad Ochocinco more a part of the offense? So everyone's trying to come up with answers for that. So any little thing like that, you know, they're grabbing onto and saying, ah, there you go. He's in awe. He's not involved. And, you know, so, but I think this is being blown up almost more than what Brady said yesterday.
Yes, I agree.
But it was good radio. I mean, you know, I mean, I would have been listening to my radio if Brewski had said that.
Oh, it was very good radio.
It's passion.
And it was passion. It was passion. That's why Teddy's good in that role. Teddy's a good analyst.
He is.
He's a very good analyst.
He works hard at it, too. He doesn't, you know, just show up.
No.
I just don't look at it as a distraction. I don't see, these aren't the kinds of things that are distracting.
I do wonder, though, how much of a beating Ocho Cinco can take. Because this one hurts, I think. I think when the fans say it, but when an ex-player says it that was on that team, I think that might leave a mark.
Oh, I think his mental state is very much in question. Far more in question than, will he ever get the offense? Does he still have skills? I think the biggest question right now is there a chance you lose him emotionally? Is he in fear of making a mistake? Is his confidence just shattered beyond? I think, and I don't know if I said this on TV last night, but I think he's not a bully in the sense of, you punch a bully in the mouth, and I think the whole facade of his outgoing personality may kind of cover up a guy who's a little insecure, who has some confidence issues, and that's being tested right now. He's being tried like probably never before in his career because he asked for this, he wanted this, he got to where he wanted to be. It's supposed to be heaven and perfection, and the sky is falling on him, and I don't know if he's capable of handling that. I think that's a concern.
I agree.
So do I. 508-298-0398.
Good radio, guys.
Well, I mean,
should I do real radio and just say the same exact thing you said, only maybe more definitively?
Right.
In your own words.
I think you said what I was thinking.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. We got a lot of emails coming in. People want to chime in on this and other subjects.
Emails fixed?
Not really. Not the way I like it, but I'm getting them anyway.
Andy, do you happen to see the official injury report? We should maybe bring that up because this.
A very
important topic on it, but just I thought the classification of the Dan Copen one, fibula, not ankle.
Right.
Which Andy and I said, he broke his leg. I mean, when it happened, we said he broke his leg. And
right.
Matt's nodding his head because he was there. Where the ankle? I mean, I know maybe it was lower in the leg. Maybe it's semantics.
Part of the ankle, technically.
Yeah, maybe it's semantics, but I just thought that was interesting.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, do we usually see bones listed like that?
Well, the good thing about
for them
that know, might be a new thing because I also noticed San Diego Castillo was listed as tibia.
I wondered if they got the report from San Diego and said, we'll do that then.
Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but
you're
going to
play one here on PFW in progress.
There's less chance of ligament damage in a fibula than there is in an ankle, right? Because it's not a joint.
Well, doesn't it go to the joint? Isn't it part of the joint?
Yeah, but it wouldn't stretch the way like a joint could stretch on pressure.
Well, it depends
it
how
just
it broke.
Snaps.
See,
it
just
breaks.
I just look at a broken leg
breaks,
as a broken. Yeah.
It can put stress on other things.
Yeah, but it's not the same as a joint.
How the bleep do you know?
Because I'm not a doctor.
Right. Now, the other thing that's of more interest and more important, certainly, is Mike Wright.
Yeah.
Concussion. And observation from the locker room today. Chair folded up against the wall. He hadn't been there. He hasn't. Yeah. So, not
it literally
good, not
be
a
career
good
ending.
Not very good.
Especially in this day and age, where it's such a hot button topic.
When you had one that was as severe as he had last year, that forced him to miss so many games, really the rest of the season, and now it happens right away again in the first game.
Really unfortunate.
Not good. Not
it's
good.
Because I really like him.
You know,
one of the real good guys in that locker room.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate.
Which is why I kind of hope his career is over, because I certainly don't want to see him keep coming back.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All of a sudden he's
right,
in
like the guy from the Bruins.
Yeah, you don't want a Mark Savard in the
right. Right, Mark Savard.
Get hit in the head far more.
Right.
Again,
Matt LeBan.
Again, who knew that we had a producer? I didn't know.
I know. Turn up your volume just a little bit, Matt, so that when you do chime in.
You got a big guy. You don't want a little voice.
That's right. Better.
Yeah, a little bit better. That's good.
Sounds a little like Jim on the Maddie in the Morning Show, and he's just talking in the
background.
No one can hear him.
Kind of hear every third word.
All right, so injuries to the Patriots. Anything significant from the Chargers that we know about yet?
Well, Luis Castillo is out. He broke his leg.
Yeah.
So he's not playing, and that's a key part of their 3-4. He's good veteran defensive tackle, defensive end.
And they're going with a backup kicker too, right?
Have they signed one yet? Because they must have put Kading on IR because he wasn't listed on the report.
Yeah,
because they originally said they weren't going to do that.
I believe they did sign somebody. I forgot the name.
They said they
signed a guy yesterday. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they were going to sign one on when I was working on the preview. They said they would sign one on Tuesday, and I didn't see.
It could be Shane Graham.
It's not. I heard the list of three names they were working out, and I actually thought to myself, I wonder how come Shane Graham's not
Shane Graham's available.
He was not. I virtually 100% he was not. I believe they tried out three, and he wasn't one of them.
So that's another advantage for the Patriots. You come in, I mean, you don't want to have a shaky kicking game.
No.
And last week they had a play. That's another part of that game. And I thought sometimes Bill lays it on when he's talking about the other team. And Bill made the comment yesterday that he really felt San Diego was thoroughly in control of that game for longer than the score indicated. And he was right. I mean, they had to go for a 4th-and-20 from deep in Minnesota territory because they didn't know if a punter could make a 40-whatever-yard field goal. So that's obviously 3 points they lost there. Just the way they had to play that game when you lose a kicker, it affects your play calling, affects everything, not knowing. And then, give Cyphers credit. He did make a 40-yarder later in the game.
Yep.
And they ended up winning the game. They dominated it statistically. I mean, 2-1 in everything.
It's kind of like when they played us, except they didn't have all the turnovers
right.
that they had.
Yeah, and they didn't. I mean, they did have two turn. I mean, Rivers turned it over twice, and I think Minnesota only once. But it was one of those games, I think, if it played out the same way 10 times,
yeah.
San Diego would probably win comfortably 8 times.
Right.
And the last injury, I think he's going to play and be fine, but to keep an eye on is Tolbert, the running back.
Yeah, he wasn't on the report at all.
No. Which I think he's fine, but that could change the second play of the game if you
Correct.
Tweak something. So
new
he scored all three
for the
touchdowns.
Chargers is Nick Novak.
Novak. Okay, former Jet.
Novakane.
So we'll be talking about all that. And, of course, in the last portion of the show, we'll be doing our picks.
Yeah!
There's no Thursday night game this week, right?
That's correct.
All right, so we don't have to worry about that.
Another side note. While
we don't have to worry about getting our picks in time
right.
for the Thursday night kickoff.
Right.
While we're cleaning things up early, did you see Tully worked out for the Jets? Tully
did he really?
Yeah,
good for him.
He can't play now. You don't remember this?
Oh, you said he couldn't play while he was here, so what's the big deal?
I completely agree.
The first time. We said he couldn't play 8 years ago. The whole elbow me when he makes a play, and he got offended
and
by
he,
it.
And he
asked
him.
I would still say... Elbow me when he makes a play.
And when he walked by Andy and he actually elbowed Andy and said, did I make any plays for you yet?
I didn't sign him to the $6 million bonus. And somebody else thought he could play. I didn't. I never thought he could play. Remember that whole thing about a 10-sack guy and a guy who has 10 sacks?
He's talking fast now.
All right. Now we're talking fast. Webradio at Patriots.com.
We say it when he's here, not when he leaves.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Let's go to it right now because Eric in Atlanta wants to talk about the Teddy Bruschi comments. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was listening to EEI when Teddy Bruschi went on his rant, and I think part of what set him off when they commented on the tweet that Ocho had put out was the fact that Ocho had said that he had just gotten out of bed, and it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so Teddy really went off on that, and then he went into his rant about the whole thing. So I think part of it, what he's trying to do is tell Ocho is, listen, you're on a winning team, and if you want to have a winning mentality, you have to change the way you think about the game and the way you think about, how you're approaching your work. Stop being in awe and just get out there and do it and expect it to happen, and good things will happen for you.
No, I agree. That's what Teddy was saying. There's no doubt about it. As far as just getting out of bed, the team did get into Boston at around 5 in the morning, probably had to go to treatment right after that, so they probably didn't get to go to bed until 11 in the morning.
Right.
So he had probably just come off about 5 hours sleep and was getting up out of bed at 4, which, so...
is normal.
If there's one thing that everybody...
And it's smart, because you have a new game coming. You need to be
right.
physically prepared to start the preparation.
If there's one thing that everybody on this team has said, is that he's working hard. I mean, that's not the issue. So,
which is, as Paul says, maybe concerning. Maybe most concerning.
Right.
Because he can't turn it up a notch. It's already at the top of the work ethic.
Eric, you got anything else?
Well, I think that give him a little bit of time and he'll work his way into it. I still think, at this point in time, he's still trying to figure things out. And I know it's a little more difficult for him probably than it was for Woodhead, because Woodhead didn't have, as far as the pass plays go, he didn't have as much involvement with that. So I think, give us, another 3-4 weeks, and I think he's going to be an integral part of the game.
I'm with you, Eric. Stay
right.
positive, bro.
Thanks for the call, Eric. That's Eric from Atlanta.
I don't see it.
Blake from Southern Cal writes in. He says, hey, guys, wow, what a win against Miami. Brady was incredible and brought me back from the depths of defeat in both of my fantasy leagues. We're spoiled to have such an amazing QB. Anyway, I wanted to chime in on the Bruschi Ocho. I love Teddy, but his comments were really over the top and unnecessary. It was just a damn tweet. Ochoa will get this offense soon, and everyone will look back on this in a few weeks when things are clicking with him and Tommy and wonder why they were stressing so much about it in the first place. Hope to crush the Chargers, having a lot of friends who are Charger fans out here. It will be great to have bragging rights again for the year.
If he has 30 catches, well, how would that play? What does that mean?
I think if the offense is as effective, and I'm not talking about the yardage, but I'm saying they consistently win the 30s, they were last year, I don't think fans will care if Ochoa has 30 catches or 60 catches. It'll be more exciting, I think, if he all of a sudden catches fire and he's a big part of it. But if he's not and they're still successful, I don't think the fans care.
Will he be criticized? I mean, will it even be an issue? The season ends, they go 12-4, they average 30 points a game, and Ochoa has 30 catches to end the year, a couple touchdowns, that's it.
I think people will say he was overpaid.
Yeah.
That they
people
didn't really
wonder,
need
why
him.
Do we go out and get this guy
right.
again? You
yeah.
know,
will
don't...
it be like talked about? Will we get emails every show and
no,
SPFW?
See, I don't think,
only if
I don't
only
think
if
it'll
they
be
don't
huge.
Lose.
Unless,
only if they lose.
Right. Unless they just aren't good.
Well, but they won. I mean, the opener. They couldn't have
had
a better
think,
offensive
and
day.
I don't think you're getting a lot of calls about that.
But Bruschi and Harrison are all worked up.
Right. And I think you're right about that. I think it was a harmless tweet that two former players seem to be more upset about than most fans are.
But
although,
is that a
so
bad
ridiculous.
Sign? I mean, should...
Like Eric in Atlanta just called and said, you know, he's in bed at 4 o'clock. I think that was...
No,
I think
but
Bruschi
is, you know, one of the perfect Patriots, one of Bill's guys, everything, always did the right thing. Bruschi's instinct was to tear the poop out of Ocho Cinco after this tweet, right? That was his instinct because it happened live.
Right.
So theoretically, Bill supports that because...
I think that he's wondering... Not about
did
the tweet.
Somebody do it in this locker room, and should they have?
I don't think the tweet had anything to do with it. I think it's, for inside the locker room. Now, the tweet had everything to do with it
Bruschi.
For Teddy. But inside the locker room, I think they're wondering, what is the hold up here? What is the major stumbling block?
Has that been expressed by somebody in there? Ocho?
I think so.
Well, that's a good
point. Because that falls in line. Remember, it's a different one, but the Bethel Johnson... playing wiffle ball in the locker room and Willie walking by, don't you have a playbook to study somewhere?
Perfect.
I mean, that, you know, different resumes and points of their career, but same thing. Has somebody said to Ocho walking through, bopping around, don't you have a playbook to study?
It's
getting a little ridiculous.
Point. Strippers writes in and says, doesn't Teddy talk to 30 or 40 guys in Foxborough? Is he spouting what guys in Foxborough are saying?
I have no idea how many he talks to. I mean, I know he talks to some, but
my,
I don't know.
My guess is that he talks to the guys that he play with. Not 30 or 40 guys, yeah. But... my guess is that he talks pretty regularly or in some way. You know, maybe he's texting back and forth or whatever, but he's got some sort of communication with a few guys anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, oui, oui, Pompé.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you saying my name correctly. It's not like Toussaint, but it's Olivier. It's very nice.
Oh, okay. I actually expected a woman, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I had my sex change with Andy a few years ago.
You should be.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's the first time I call. I listen to you guys religiously, up to the point where my wife is wondering what's wrong with me, but then she realizes I have the same sense of humor as Andy, so perhaps it explains everything. But I want to say you guys are doing a fantastic job. You're a pleasure to listen to. It's really an honor to be able to talk to you today.
I agree.
So, well, yeah, exactly. I think you would definitely agree. I wanted to talk to you about the defense because I looked at obviously the game and I realized that our success is always on the shoulders of Brady, and obviously the guy is a fantastic athlete and professional, but sooner or later he's probably going to have some bad games as he's had before, and we cannot always rely on him to be a force. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on what can we do to improve the defense, and realizing that obviously it's difficult to go from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and have a super fast transition into one game. But I wanted to understand what your thoughts were if we had to make some more acquisitions in the season and to get some veteran players so we have a defense that can actually help Brady when he doesn't have his best games.
All right. Thanks, Olivier. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I think right now, if you were to target a couple areas that may be a little thin, safety is the obvious one.
Sure.
With Barrett and Brown rotating right now. And I think linebacker is a little thin. You know, with Gary Guyton maybe playing a little more than he needs to, you still have the questions about where Spikes is as a healthy and active. Fletcher's hurt. I think there may be a little bit of a lack of depth there, but I'm with Paul. The one thing I think you have is more hope than you had in the past. You're hoping that they struggled a little bit in Miami because they are coming together, because there are new faces. I think there's more talent than there was a year ago. So theoretically, you should be better. But
yeah,
and I was disappointed in the performance.
I do think it'll take some time. And I, one of our callers, I think yesterday mentioned Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe was a little bit higher in the defense. And I did go back and see some of his comments. And he was, I didn't read that whole thing through. He was a little bit higher. A matter of fact, I think he's guilty of the opposite of what a lot of people are accusing us of. A lot of people are telling us that, oh, the yards all came late in the game, so they didn't really count. Well, he's actually discounting the first drive.
Right.
Which
How do you do that?
He said, listen, Miami came out, they had a great game plan. They went right down the field and they scored. And, you know, they kind of hit him. Brian Daboll had a great game plan and they hit him right off the go. Well, that's part of defense.
Right.
You know, it was nothing to open the season. I mean, was that a fake drive? Was that a meaningless drive?
Right.
I mean, I thought the ease with which Miami went down the field was concerning.
Yes.
Now,
it's
the Patriots did make some adjustments there, and I thought they settled down a little bit, but I think he's glossing over some missed opportunities that Miami had during the course of that game.
Right.
And he's
that a better quarterback might have hit on.
Well,
right.
That's my
if Brady, that's what I said yesterday, if Brady is the quarterback for Miami and everything else is the same, I think Miami wins.
Well,
not just
and
Brady.
I actually blogged. I said,
how about Philip Rivers?
I blogged when the Patriots were down, when the Chargers, I mean, when Miami was down by the goal line, I said, Patriots are happy that Chad Henne is the quarterback right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, I don't know how you can disregard the beginning of the game. Even the end of the game, I don't disregard as much as a lot of other people
do. I mean,
do,
I'll take the very last
whole
drive.
Chunk of the game.
The very last drive that happened in the last 2 minutes of the game. Up 14. Okay, I'll give you that one. But the one before that,
right,
that got to the 1 yard line, that would have made it a 7 point game. I can't disregard that. I think that the last two drives they had, they were down 21. They went right down and scored. Right? I mean, I mean, they were down 14. They went down to the 1 yard line. And then it was 21. They went right down and scored. So they had two long drives that, you know, ended up a hair away from being two touchdown
right.
drives. I don't think those were meaningless drives at all.
Right.
I think they were still in the game. Miami was still
fighting. Until the Welker touchdown,
but
that was a game.
But I'm not even I'm not dismissing the drive after that.
Right.
You know, and you go into a prevent, right? What's prevent supposed to prevent? Big
you
plays.
From winning.
Big plays, right?
Yeah.
They had 8 plays of 20 or more yards or something like that. 9 plays.
I believe 8.
And they had a couple, and then they did have a couple in that first drive, but they had a couple in those other drives. It seemed like every time Miami got the ball in the fourth quarter, the first play was like a 25-yard catch and run by Bess or by Marshall.
He also,
I don't think that's what you're looking for in prevent.
He also totally disregarded McCourty's struggles. He said, well, he's going against Brandon Marshall, who's a good receiver, and you take out 3 or 4 plays, and he played pretty well. Well, you can't take out 3 or 4 plays. I mean, that's the game. That's how it's won and lost. And by the way, he's supposed to be a pretty good corner. That's what he's going to get. He's
like,
going to get the opponent's best receiver.
If Brandon Marshall only had, say, 6 catches for 58 yards, would Miami people be saying, well, he was going
pretty
against Devin McCourty.
No.
It's an all-pro. A rookie pro bowler.
We pay you $50 million for a reason. We consider a rising star McCourty for a reason.
Speaking of cornerbacks, Ellis Hobbs tweets out. One of our listeners sends it to us. His tweet says, was it really necessary for Teddy Brew to go off on Ocho Cinco like that on national TV? Really?
Ooh. X-player on X-player crime on Twitter. I like it.
So.
He's made a movie, you know.
Ellis Hobbs?
He's like the executive producer of a movie.
Calvin and Hobbs?
No, a serious movie, I think. I think it's about football and whatever, but I'm interested in it. He seems pretty excited about the project. And I like that little thing. The little Twitter. We have enough of those now. That could get interesting, too. Ellis Hobbs active on Twitter. Teddy Bruschi's active in the media. Rodney Harrison active on Twitter and in the media. Heath Evans active in the media and on Twitter. I think we could have these little flare-ups every once in a while with these expats.
I think it's just a lot of pent-up hostility from years of being shackled.
Maybe.
It's true. They couldn't comment forever. Now they can be honest.
Now they can say what they want.
Yep. Chad is from Douglasville, Georgia. He calls himself the Big Chadowski. Anyway, he says, love the show. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I have a theory on the Esteban 85.
Okay.
In other words, Ocho Cinco.
Pepe.
For starters, I'm getting tired of all the worry / negativity that 85 is getting. I hate to sound cliche, but he needs time, so that's where my theory comes in. The average NFL player has critical practice time, including a full 6 or so weeks worth of training camp, getting to know players, staff, and how things work, and also a good bit of off-season training as well. 85 has gotten, at best, one-third of that. So having missed that crucial time of training with Belichick and Brady, he has some catching up to do. So if you calculate the time he missed and count the first 7 or so games of the season he will play, I think that the first half of the regular season is going to be a 6-week trial-by-error training camp for 85, which means that by the end of the season, the last 5 or so games, I believe that Chad Ochocinco and the Patriots offense are going to click. So, not if, but when we make it to the playoffs, Weapon X, as I like to call him, will be unstoppable. Belichick would not have traded 2 picks for him if he didn't already have some plan in the works for number 85. So that's the Big Chadowski's theory.
I don't go to the extreme he is. Like, I don't think it'll be necessarily unstoppable, and I don't know if his numbers of all the breakdown of the exact weeks is right, but in general, I believe with his philosophy.
Okay. And,
Matt
went to go get food.
How about the notion of Belichick wouldn't have traded for him if he didn't have a plan in mind? I mean, what does that mean? I mean,
well, I think in general that's
don't
right.
You make every trade with a plan in mind, and some of them work and some of them don't.
No, but I think in general, and I said this yesterday, I don't think if he thought Chad was a terrible football IQ, could not possibly learn the offense in the course
of
a month.
That's not my point.
I don't think he would have done it.
I mean, do you think that he traded for Derek Burgess with the thought that he would be a good pass rusher a couple of years ago?
Well, sure, in all likelihood.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you just, it's not right. It just doesn't work.
But now,
I'm
now
sure
the two
that
things
Bill
are crossing
that
over.
He could,
is it physical or is it mental?
Well, see, I think it's both.
The physical, I don't think people you can perfectly judge. Mental, I think you need to know.
Yeah, I think people are grossly underestimating the decline that he's been on in Cincinnati.
Could be.
And we talked about that in the offseason when we did our
first
round of Debate Fridays on this topic. I should mention the Samsonite State Your Case.
But it was hard to tell in Cincinnati because his decline kind of coincided with the decline of Carson Palmer. So people were saying, well, is it him or is it Palmer?
Right. Well, and to me, there's enough bad receivers like Larry Fitzgerald that continued to be pretty productive with and without good quarterbacks.
Yep. Stephen Albany says
Calvin Johnson.
Stephen Albany says we're wrong. He says Chad never used the term awe. Teddy did. I think Teddy's problem was the fact that Chad is tweeting, not with exactly what Chad said. I thought he did use the word awe.
I didn't see the tweet, so Steve could be right. I don't know.
So, Nate writes in about the Chad Ochocinco tweet. He says, I'm waiting for this to come up on my computer. When I heard Chad's comments, I didn't like it that he doesn't understand the playbook. I took it as he can't believe the Pats perform that well. He can still understand the playbook and still be amazed at how they perform the playbook. So, you know, again, I think it's just the way Chad is. You know, it's just an extension of all the tweets that he's been doing all his life. I don't think... you know, it was that big a deal. But, you know, it seems everybody else does. Let's see. What's going on? Andy's on Twitter. Paul's eating. So they've just kind of left the show. I'm left to do the show by myself.
I'm doing work. I'm going to Chad Ochocinco's Twitter feed and trying to find the exact tweet. Should I not do work here? Do you not want me to work? Because I won't.
Don't give him that option.
Steve also says, I'm with Teddy and Rodney. I think Chad should shut his mouth and keep off Twitter. Instead, like Teddy said, he should open the playbook and study the offense. Chad should keep his head in the game and off himself. The Patriots are a team, and I think Chad should keep his opinions to himself instead of bragging to fans how he felt about the game. Maybe if he was a part of those video game numbers, he would react differently. I doubt it, though. You know,
I think it's so overrated that what he's struggling with right now can be found on his couch reading the playbook. It's repetition.
Right.
Read and react on the field.
I have another question that I want to bring up to you as a possibility. Are we sure that Ochocinco played a bad game the other night?
Yeah, and that's another good point. I mean, he was only targeted.
And I'm not saying that he didn't.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes.
Oh, are we assuming he played a bad game?
Well, it seems like everybody else is.
Oh, I wasn't. I thought the anger was that he wasn't a factor in the game and was so easily, by the coaching staff, taken out of the game plan. Because he was.
My point is he could have had, he could have done absolutely everything right. Now, I know he made a mistake on a penalty, you know, but I'm saying within reason he could have graded out pretty highly the other night in the plays that he was involved with. We don't know.
If you look at it, he had a good catch on the sidelines and then non-called pass interference down near the goal line. Those are two of the plays you got to look at.
Right, but there's also plays where he was in on it and maybe he made a good block downfield. I don't know.
No, listen, you know, he very well could have graded out poorly, but he wasn't really a big part of the game plan. That was not by accident. Okay. He wasn't a big part of the game plan. You have the tweet?
He did not use the word awe. He said, wow. So Teddy took that to mean awe. Teddy converted it to awe.
Well, I think that's even worse on
that
Teddy's
is worse.
Part. Because I think he kept fixating on the word awe.
I'll read it word for word. Just waking up after a late arrival, I've never seen a machine operate like that in person. To see video game numbers put up in person was wow. That's what he said exactly. That was one day ago.
Well, I think it's even worse.
And since then, he's only had one tweet. Just checking everyone's pulse. Y'all good? I'm sure you guys are fine. I love you, and I mean that in every sense of the four-letter word. Hashtag 1LUV. That was 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Shouldn't he be practicing?
All right, let's take a break. Matt, we'll be right back. We got a lot of emails and calls. We'll get right to them.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime.
To make that clear. And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We're talking about Ocho Cinco and Teddy Bruschi's comment. It's a hot topic. Everybody has an opinion. If you want, I know I see some emails coming in about Brady's comments yesterday, which I think are even more overblown, but boy, I got gas here from, I just wolfed out a meatball parm, so, and, Diet Coke. That was Paul. That wasn't me.
They make a good meatball.
It's okay. It was a little cold. So I don't know if they waited before they made the delivery.
He just ate an entire sub in that amount of time.
No, I threw half of it away.
You better not have.
Well, not, I'd say 25% of it I threw away.
Were there meatballs left?
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to eat them?
Yes.
No, you won't.
There are starving children around the world for it.
First of all, it's, yeah, utterly disrespectful to the guy who bought us lunch. Second of all, there are starving children everywhere. Third of all, I would have eaten the meatball.
I have literally 2 minutes to eat my lunch.
So save it and eat it during the next
break.
You
know, so kill me that I couldn't finish it. All right?
Says a lot about you as a human being.
No, it says, you know, I'm dedicated to the show, and I'm not going to talk with my mouth full like
you
guys do.
You're gluttonous.
Joel from Merrimack, New Hampshire writes in, okay, got to chime in on the no-show Cinco tweet. Really shocked it is getting this much press. Does Teddy not have anything better to do? Isn't there something more, isn't there something more important going on in the NFL that he could be covering? Don't get me wrong. I will always love Teddy, but he needs to take a pill. I can fully understand Chad being in awe of that hell. It's one of the top five performances by a QB in NFL history. Everyone watching that should be in awe. I can't believe that some of the players weren't watching that, shaking their heads and smiling. Only problem with no show is he opened up and was honest about it. I mean, we all know how great Brady is, but that was a pretty special performance. Anyway, do you think the Pats will sign another center or go with the lineup they have?
I think Conley will be the starter. I don't know if they'll add depth. They very well could. I mean, they did with Thomas, I guess, in the line. But, no, I think it's Conley's starting job. I think they have a lot of confidence in him.
And I think they have confidence in Wendell, too, who would be the backup if healthy.
I don't necessarily.
Well, I thought he played pretty well last year when he was pressed into duty late in the year, especially that Buffalo game. I mean, that's probably
concerns me.
That's probably a little misleading because Buffalo was so bad against the run. They ran for like 200-plus yards that day.
Plus, if you get down to your third center, okay, you're probably supposed to not be as good as you were. I mean, who goes three deep at center?
But I think they're comfortable with that. I don't think they'll feel like they have to go out and get a veteran because Copen's out. Plus, you know, let's see how long Copen's going to be out, too. I mean, there's some different report. I saw something that said between 6 to 10 weeks.
Yes, that was.
I think that's a ridiculous timetable. I mean, that's a whole month's difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
That was the NFL Network, I believe, our old friend Albert Breer. Well, there was also a report today that he's going to undergo surgery today or soon.
Steve in Miami writes in, you guys were seriously missed Tuesday. First, you all are killing me with your movie references. Between 300, the Adjustment Bureau, and now having no idea who Aronofsky is, you guys need help. So go see Drive or Warrior this weekend if you can. Then I'll fix all your Netflix cues. Anyway, tried to send you this yesterday, but Teddy was ridiculous. If Chad gets called out for that tweet, so should Dion Branch, who literally said the same thing Tuesday morning on the radio. Branch called what Brady did video game numbers, and that's what you do in PlayStation, not real life. That seems like some awe to me. It's just respect and love for his teammate. And for anyone that says Branch put up numbers, they were in a two tight end set and no huddle most of the game, and Chad had no off season. I'm not saying he will definitely work out, but give him a bit of a chance. And finally, having gotten a look at the league after 1 week, can you guys give your revised predictions for the Patriots' record this season? How many losses and where do they come from? I have them at 14-2 with losses coming this week. Sorry, everybody. And Pittsburgh. At the Jets will be tough, but their offense is soft, and I'm hoping our defense has gelled by then. And Andy, stop dodging me on words with friends. Are you dodging someone on that thing?
Mm-mm.
No?
What was that?
Steve in Miami.
I'm not dodging anybody. In fact, the other day I went through and updated every game I'm playing. I'm playing 30-something games. I'm playing so many games it doesn't let me add new opponents. I tried to play with my sister, and I can't add her.
Working hard or hardly working, huh?
I do it instead of TV now. When my wife is watching bad TV, I play Words with Friends for an hour or two.
I'll stick with my 11-5.
I'll stick with my whatever I said to start the season.
I'll stick with my 15-1 because of the tough schedule. So,
if you're being honest, coming out of Monday's game,
13-3,
you would downgrade it.
No, if I was being honest at the beginning of the season,
he wouldn't have made the joke at the beginning.
No, I'm talking about Monday, based on the game.
Yeah, I'd still say 13-3.
It wouldn't
stick
change
with
anything.
No. But nobody, and I mean nobody, thought Miami could win.
Right.
But I would say, if anything, the game was a little bit tougher than most anticipated.
Right.
This is exactly
my prediction. It'll be tough early, but the Patriots will pull away.
And that's what Andy and I argued about the whole pregame social. Even though, ironically, we both predicted virtually the same score. He predicted 34-17. I predicted 31-17.
And you can ask Brian Oates, one of our salespeople. He said, well, what's the score? I said, Patriots will be in the 30s and the Dolphins will be in the 20s. That's
right.
What I said.
So, based on that, why should you have changed iota of what you thought heading into the season?
I mean, look, Buffalo decimated Kansas City,
but I'm
still not saying Buffalo's going to be a contender.
I'm going to stand by the thing that Andy and I have been saying for the last couple of years now. At some point, you lose to a team that you play twice a year. I mean, it just has to happen at some point. Maybe it won't be this year. But at some point, you're not going to just beat that team every single time.
Those division games, anything can happen, you know?
But I still think the Jets are going to be a formidable team and a tough team to beat on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, San Diego's going to be a challenge this week. I think that'll be a tough game.
I wouldn't change my record, but based on Monday, I think less of them as a team because I expected them to have more success against Miami. So I have to be consistent.
To me, it's still week one, and
that's
a lot of times
the
you
biggest
see,
thing.
You know, I mean, my God, think about those two Buffalo games. Mm-hmm. Like in 05 or 06, and then again in 09, you know, the games that went right down to the wire. I mean, if you had pulled me right after that, wow, they struggled that bad. Even last year, Buffalo in week 3, the 38-30 game, you know, like if you had thought about it at that time, this team can't win 14 games.
But I'm a consistent roller coaster.
Yeah, you are.
This week, they'll blow out the Chargers, and I'll say they're going undefeated. This is ridiculous.
Right, you're knee-jerk.
I'm consistent, though.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yes.
Right.
Emphasis on the last part.
Right.
Are you still doing TV at 10 tomorrow?
Why?
Because I'm doing 6:30 now.
Why don't they just give you guys your own show? Web Radio.
We have it. It's called Patriots Football Weekly.
Web Radio at patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Dave from Rhode Island says,
I got to get you to switch, do I?
Are you out of your bleeping mind?
Just my opinion, but it seems to me that Chad can't win for losing. He gets bashed for complaining about his QB or team, and he gets bashed for pretty much praising what he's part of now. The guy just got here. Cut him some slack. By midseason, Chad will be a major factor in the Patriots' offense.
I agree. Cut him some slack.
I agree with the whole thing, except for I don't think he's going to be a major part of the offense.
And by the way, he reaps what he sows. He wants to be a lightning rod. He wants to be out there out front. This is what you get sometimes.
Yeah,
when you're in the spotlight, sometimes it's a critical eye.
But the last thing he wants is to cause a distraction for his team. I don't think he wants that.
Well, he didn't cause any.
And I don't think he caused any distraction.
The person who caused the distraction is Teddy Bruschi.
That's the ironic thing. That's what I said in the beginning.
And I don't even think that's a distraction. I just think we're talking about it. I don't think they are.
I'm amazed with Teddy also. This is Fat Pat. Chad picked horrible timing on that tweet, considering the type of game and production he's had. You could be amazed all you want, just don't let the world know, especially when the fifth receiver had a better game than you. Smarten up, Chad, says Fat Pat. Brian says from Baltimore, just wanted to chime in the Ocho comments from Teddy. Teddy is an ESPN analyst and former NFL players. Being analysts at ESPN are a dime a dozen. Although I do agree that he does a really great job and has more than enough qualifications to do it, I think sometimes at ESPN that isn't enough. And guys are let go all the time, not because they don't give good information and analysis, but they can't give it in an interesting and entertaining way and aren't relevant. With this in mind, I think Teddy really is partly trying to make an effort to stand out and make Ocho Cinco's tweets more about himself and how he feels rather than what Ocho Cinco may actually be doing and how involved he really is in the Patriots offense and future plans. Reading the actual tweet, he never used the word awe, and I guarantee no one else even would have cared if Teddy had said nothing.
I agree.
So everyone, just chill out, and when Chad goes 8 for 110 in a TD, everyone can just shut up, and Ocho Cinco can tweet later he's in awe of himself. There you go, Brian. Good,
just for
Brian.
For the record,
just shut your mouth.
While we're talking about it on Patriots.com, Christian Fourier is talking about it on ESPN2. This might be First Take or First and 10 or whatever that show is. And it says, is Chad Ocho Cinco being treated fairly? And he's sitting with, I don't know, some guys.
Skip Bayless and Chris Broussard and Dana Jacobson.
Okay.
So this is a big story. Big.
This is from...
Again, I'm going to stick with my yesterday thing. If they're talking about it, it means it's nothing more than a tabloid sensationalism story. And we're falling right into the trap.
This is from Patriots Football Talk, headline, Patriots coaches push Ocho Cinco to learn offense faster.
Patriots Football Talk?
PFT, from PFT.com.
Football Talk or Patriots?
Oh, did I say Patriots?
Yeah.
I meant Pro Football Talk.
Same thing.
Chad Ocho Cinco has yet to respond to the seemingly over-the-top criticism from Teddy Bruschi. Ocho's usually active Twitter account has been dormant. During Wednesday's locker room media time, Ocho Cinco was absent. Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com points out that this is a change from Ocho's normal routine. He's openly courted the Patriots media with effectiveness. Reese now thinks Ocho Cinco reacts to the firestorm will be telling, or how he reacts will be telling. We could be entering a crucial phase of Ocho Cinco's tenure with the team. While the Patriots don't need Ocho Cinco to be a number one receiver, they expect production considering the signing bonus they gave him in August. Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald writes that the coaching staff has turned up the heat on Ocho Cinco to pick up the offense quicker. Quote, everyone has an opinion on everything, and none of it really means anything, Tom Brady said. The only thing that means anything are the guys in this locker room and what we do every day in practice. The Patriots' coaching philosophy is to endlessly apply pressure internally so that players are more prepared for what comes on Sundays. Guys that can't keep up ultimately get left behind.
Was that quote supposed to back up the fact that the coaches have turned up the heat?
I was thinking the same thing, Andy. I don't see where that quote backs up what Ian said.
We all at one point or another have played for a coach who's a jerk.
And I also, Reese says that it's different from his normal routine. A, how do you know his normal routine in the first week of the season?
That
and
was
B,
my point.
When did he court the media? Because he told Paul Perillo, nothing to say, nothing to talk about.
I got nothing to say, boss.
So that's no different last week than it is this week.
As pleasant could be.
Right. So he didn't talk last week, and he hasn't talked this week. So when did he court the media, and how do you know what his normal...
And he pleasantly declined today as well.
How do you know what his normal... I think that's utterly... This is the worst story ever. This is an embarrassment to the media.
But, you know, that's a common thing that writers do now, is what Ian Rappaport did there. You make a statement, and then you lead into a quote that doesn't really have anything to do with your statement.
Right.
And it makes it sound like it's giving validity to what you write.
Now,
and if someone didn't really read it well, you get duped.
See, now, here's where,
ridiculous.
And also writers jump to conclusions. Tonight, the Bill Belichick documentary airs, the first part, on NFL Network. I think, what is it, 9 o'clock? I'm not sure what time. Check your local listings.
9 p.m.
Anyway, one of the things in this, and this isn't really a spoiler, is there's a segment where Belichick is talking about, I'm going to keep the pressure on you guys. You know, I'm going to keep doing it. So I can see Ian seeing that and saying, well, he's probably doing it now, so it won't be that much of a leap if I say they're putting pressure on Ocho. Of course they are. They're putting pressure on all the players.
Yeah, but you can't say it like you know it as fact.
No, you can't.
That's no. See,
poor reporting.
Right. So what backed up him thinking that or saying that?
Well, you know? I would hope that someone told him.
But he should according to a source.
I'm going to separate these two things. I believe that what he said about the coaches is true, because I happen to know that he speaks to the coaching staff or Belichick frequently.
Does he?
I never said that.
Really?
Talks to Bill a lot?
I don't know if it's Bill, but don't make me into this.
Well, to me, it's two very different things. If you tell me he talks to Bill a lot, that carries weight. If you tell me something else, it doesn't.
Well, I'm telling you something else.
It doesn't carry any weight.
But what I'm saying is I don't think for a second he's making that up.
Okay.
But my point is you write it as if you're backing up your claim when Tom Brady's comment was basically 180 degrees away from what you said.
Nothing to do with it, really.
Nothing to do with it.
Tiff in Wisconsin says, on Tuesday, I listened to Dion Branch on EEI, and they were teasing him about being late for his weekly appearance. Troy Brown told Branch to get out of bed. Dion stated that they didn't get in till 5. It's not a big deal that Ocho was still in bed. Question. So that's kind of what I said earlier. Right. Do you guys believe Bill Belichick is a favorite player on the team? If so, who do you think those players are or is? I think Gerard Mayo is one of his favorites, there's no doubt. Obviously, Tom probably would be.
I agree. And I also think he has a real affinity for practice squad guys, like Ross Ventrone.
Yes.
You know, guys like that maybe don't have a whole lot of talent, but they have a whole lot of heart. And they do a whole lot of things that help you prepare each and every week. I think he has an affinity for those kinds of players.
Tiff's second question is, do you think that Brewski and Harrison have a personal issue with Ocho? Maybe they don't believe he is their guy or a proper Patriot guy, in addition to hearing grumblings from current Patriot players.
I think there might be some validity to that.
I doubt that it's 100% production related, because Rodney Harrison has defended Merriweather in the past.
Yeah,
good point there.
I think the...
In the Big Bang Clock.
The Ocho thing, I think there's some validity to that. I think that he's not really their kind of guy. You know? Rodney, Ocho is a guy, if we ever played Cincinnati in a playoff game, that would have been Rodney's target.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That's not their kind of guy. They yap after the game.
Right.
They don't yap before it. Ocho yaps all the time.
Right. He'd be yapping during the game if the NFL would let him.
He hasn't really yapped here.
Imagine if players were allowed to tweet during games. That would be funny. That would be a whole nother thing to follow while you're watching a game.
Oh, God, yeah.
Guy just gets off the field after missing a tackle, see what he has to say. That would be pretty funny.
Like last year in the playoff game when they had Algie Crumpler mic'd up and he caught the touchdown. He was all excited, but he dropped the touchdown, and he was coming up to him and goes, come on, Crump. He was like calling himself Crump, and he was really pissed. That was kind of cool. Immediate reaction. You missed the tackle. Come on, Gerard.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. We got a couple open lines there here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. The other... What's that? What's so funny?
I thought you did it great, Fred.
Here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Fred, you're not around for pregame socials. Andy's the only one who can read it without it making it sound like he's reading.
I'm very intrigued by my read for
JetBlue,
our TV show. Yeah, and it wasn't a read at all. He did it like he would say a sentence, and then I would just repeat it, and then he would say a sentence, and I would just repeat it.
Oh, now I'm really glad I didn't have to do it.
And I had to, and then I just ad-libbed.
You can just do it every week.
The Mayo or whoever we did our, what are they, high-flying players of the week or something?
Yep.
And it was fun, though. I want to do animation. I'd like to try that.
You got the monkey part down.
Do a voice for some sort of
animation. Johnny Drama.
Can we do that on the website? Can we have like some animated short and I can be a character?
Sure. Just find somebody
to
draw it and we'll do it.
It's very expensive.
Eric will do it.
No. We need it this century.
It's very expensive, you know, animation.
It's like the Packers waiting list. You see that? If you put your name on the season ticket waiting list now, it's the year 3000 before you get.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Gene in Daytona has something he has to say.
Gene's a very passionate and loyal listener of the pregame social.
And a bad weather man, according to some people.
Yeah, guys were all over his weather report last week.
I am concerned about Ocho's tweeting and it's in stirring up former proud Patriot players with the attention getting. You know as well as I do, if Teddy and Rodney were still on the roster, they would be saying nothing in public, but definitely letting Ocho know what it is to be a Patriot in the Patriot way.
Yes.
I feel the only reason they are speaking up is because the guys on the roster have been told to shut up to the media. Teddy and Rodney are proud and very frustrated with Ocho's excuses and self-promotion. With lack of performance compounds the issue. That's why they had to say something. People are saying that it is none of Teddy and Rodney's business because they are not on the team anymore, but I am telling you, they are still part of the Patriot family, and if they see something they see wrong, they feel in their heart obligated to say something on behalf of all of us Patriots. Another thing that is bothering me. People are saying Teddy and Rodney are saying these things to self-promote themselves. That is far from the truth. They have gone out on a limb for those of us that cannot be heard by speaking up. You guys should know more than anyone, by being honest is the only way to do things. Why do you think we listen to you guys and only you instead of all those other stations?
It's true.
My wife is still pissed off at me for the Patriots picking up Ocho. Every time she hears anything about him, she yells at me, I told you. Or she says, look at me, look at me. Do you think because of the media firestorm over his self-promoting tweets that Belichick and Tom might feel pressure to have to get him on the ball or get him the ball? A la Randy, thus getting out of the game plan. It's our diversity and never knowing where we will attack that makes our offense unstoppable. Change that and we are like everyone else.
How was his tweet self-promoting? He was praising the wow
factor. Well, just
the
fact
the
that
offense.
He tweets, I guess.
So does Deion Branch.
Yeah.
So does Rob Gronkowski. So does Julian Edelman. So does Taylor Price. So does
Brady's one of the only ones that doesn't.
Right.
I mean, they almost all. I mean, Sergio Brown, McCourty twins.
Yeah,
they all do.
Are we going to start ripping all those? Brandon Spikes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that was a bad example.
None of them have over 2.4 million followers. Like,
so he's
Ocho.
A better tweeter.
No,
he's
better.
Is that
at
his
right.
fault?
Is that Brian Morey on TV? It's Brad Marchand.
Well, that guy has hair.
I just hope Ocho was not on the field that much. I feel all this Ocho crap is creeping into Tom's head, and he will go back to the Randy program
again. Yeah,
that's
not going to happen.
No.
Just so I have absolutely no fear of that. I think Brady went down that road before, and he knows now.
Our offense is based on the first open guy gets the ball. I can't believe San Diego is not aware of the pressure on Belichick and Tom for this guy to be successful. He's becoming a nightmare. I don't care about his talent at practice. I only care about what he does on game day. He does not need to be the hero every week. He only needs to be a soldier and go out and perform and do your job. I think I am done. Fred, thanks a lot for you guys and everything.
I think I am done.
I think I am
Gene
done.
Gene had to get
How
that.
How did he become a nightmare?
Gene
what has
is,
he done to be a
Gene
nightmare?
Gene is excellent. Love
like Everybody Gene. Just do your job!
I like Gene's wife. I mean, I can just see me doing that. Look at me, look at me. But I just think people are pretending that this is the old Ocho Cinco, that he did something to that degree. I don't know what he did. If that guy on TV who's right in front of me, Teddy Bruschi, hadn't done what he did, this would be nothing. It would be one of the other 40,000 or 50,000 tweets or whatever Ocho Cinco has.
He's kind of taking back what he said, too, right now. I just had it queued up.
Did he really?
Not really taking it back, but he's saying, you know, he had a shortened preseason, and pretty soon he's going to be what the Patriots want him to be.
Well, if that's true, then I think I'm wrong, and Andy and Fred are right about it coming from somewhere.
Yeah, now he feels a little bad.
If he's doing the Trot Nixon, feeling bad about it, and backtracking,
yeah,
chances are he was just simply being emotional and didn't have any message.
Teddy emotional?
Nah. He was raging.
Hey, how many guys can put you in a headlock 1 minute and then, you know, ask you to take a walk and do an interview with you the next?
Oh, he punched Brian Morey one day and the next day offered him pizza. So, that's a true story.
I like the side of him that punched him.
at least I just got a headlock.
Pizza.
Huh? What's that?
I'd like the side of him that gave him pizza.
I know you would, Matt.
He's a true fat guy like me.
Oh, yeah.
You should have heard us the other night during the game. We ordered CBS Scene. He went and got and picked it up. And then
this
we finished
funny.
It. And I'm like, do we have any dessert?
Anything? Andy goes.
He was killing me.
Andy Every goes, you know what we need? Like, oh, we need dessert. And Matt goes, you're right.
Matt, this isn't a bad gig though, huh? Food, all the food, right?
You know, it's not bad. It's saving me some money.
Yeah. I just proved how fat I am. I hate those cookies. They're chocolate. And I ate one just because I wanted something sweet to end with.
No, I'm going to have one
soon. I might
soon.
Suck the chips out. And just
thing
eat the chocolate
what Andy
chips.
Was saying the other night is he was talking about ice cream cake, and that's like going deep into the heart of a fat kid.
Maybe not the heart, but deep into the something of a fat kid.
Nathan is from Marlboro, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good.
Great, Nate.
Now, that's Marlboro, Mass?
Yes.
Okay.
Where else?
I got two things I'd like to say real quick. One is kind of adding to what Andy was saying. Everybody's making this big deal about Ocho Cinco, how he's not doing this, how he's not doing that, how he's only on the field a certain amount of time. But like Andy was saying, he is like a guy that's supposed to, well, could, and is a lot better than Tate, but is there in a Tate kind of role where you can put him in certain circumstances where you can get a better matchup? So it seems like they're going to try to put him maybe in against certain teams where they feel they'll play him a little more, where they can get a better matchup, or save him on the sideline like where they did in this other game where they maybe thought that somebody else could have had a better matchup. And it seems like he's definitely more of that role play and, like, listening to Felger every single day, reaming on him for not being out on the field so much and only being targeted like 3 or 4 times.
Let me give you some advice. If you want to lower your blood pressure, not be annoyed so often, stop listening to Felger.
Except for on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays at 4 o'clock, you might want to tune in.
Yes, because Paul will deliver some reason to that program.
Yes,
but other than that.
That's the second thing I was going to say. Paul, make sure you talk some sense into this guy. Because
I tried.
Every Wednesday. I know. That's true. You got to get Andy in there to back you up and then talk about Randy Moss and see how heated the conversation can get.
It's like yesterday we started off, you know, they had the Monday night season opening win, and the first thing he says to me is, you got Paul Perillo from Sunshine.com on, and Paul, what about Chad Ochocinco? And I'm like, that's typical of you. You know, they threw for 8 million yards, 7 different guys caught 100 yards of passes. You want to fixate on the one guy who caught one pass.
Yep.
I mean, why is that the story of the game? Nothing. Crickets.
It just amazes me because they think that we picked him up to become this, like, star. And it's like, why can't they just think that maybe we picked him up to replace someone like Tate who can just go in there and make a difference on certain plays every once in a while?
Well, because of the money.
And they want him to do more than that. But I understand your point. This offense can be good. In Felger's defense, he keeps saying that. They don't need him.
Yep.
They don't need him to be great.
That's true.
Yes.
No, but if you don't have him, aren't you back to where you were against the Jets where you said you didn't have enough?
It all depends on what you think the problem was against the Jets.
Right.
Yeah, I think that might be another reason they picked him up, maybe because he might be a better target in circumstances against the Jets. That's only if he can become up to speed.
Right, and you have to develop that trust before that big game comes.
And you look at him, he was a true number one receiver. He had his little cornerback checklist where he matched up against opposing teams' best defenders every week. He wins or used to win one-on-one battles. He's used to that. And everybody said, maybe we need a guy like that. Not necessarily to stretch the field, but a guy who can win a one-on-one battle in a playoff situation. Match up with Antonio Cromartie and just go do it rather than Branch or Welker, who scheme gets them open. They're not physically gifted enough necessarily in some aspects to just beat a guy.
Right. Nope.
That's exactly how I feel. And it's just that they keep trying to, like, downgrade him and how he's doing. Yes, he's not doing as great as everybody would hope him to be, but it's like it's the first week. He hasn't had so much time as some receivers have had after changing from such a different offense. And to, like, the role he's playing, it seems, isn't the role he had in Cincinnati. It's a role where he comes in, he does supposedly what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And that's it.
All right. Nate, that's a great call. I think you need to call the pregame social. A call like that might get you something down the road. I think you might want to call in. Just a hint, if you want, maybe just call in.
Rick in the Netherlands, first of all, I was shocked by WEEI on Patriots Stream. It sucks. Well, we've been doing that forever, right? Patriots
and everybody has said it sucked. They've wanted us to be on all week forever.
I understand. I appreciate that.
But we don't have the type of budget to buy the airtime that they do.
Second, everyone is taking cheap shots at 85 now, and Teddy now goes in hiding behind his old teammates. Like a lot of people do is say things which, if they... let's see. I'm trying to figure out what this means here. Reflecting, reacted differently. Teddy needs to man up and admit his tone was too harsh, because in the new video he posted, you can clearly see he now did not look 100% behind his statement. Okay, F the Jets. And F Teddy Bruschi since September 2011. Wow, Rick is not happy with Teddy.
Fans have turned on Teddy a little bit. It's clear he does not wear the blue number 54 jersey.
Well,
anymore.
It's that whole thing. If you're one of us, you can criticize us. Once you're not one of us anymore,
right,
you got to back off.
It's like Eric. You know? We take a lot of shots at Eric, but when other people try to take shots of him.
Well, we allow that too.
Yeah, we kind of do a lot. You're a bad example.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. Let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we'll take some more calls, more emails, and then we'll do our picks around the NFL.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking about your funny.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
Emailer writes in, he says, I love you guys and I never miss a broadcast, but I have to wonder why you have commercials for Patriot-hating sponsors. They obviously don't care for Patriot fans because they both have the most obnoxious, annoying people in the world as Pats fans. One screams, go Pats, at the top of his lungs. I'll never use that phrase again because of that. And finally, you have the moronic woman who spikes a vase, not a vase. Oh, my God. Please, guys, find some new sponsors.
That was actually Eric.
We love our sponsors. They just need to get better commercials. That's all.
Do we have new? Are these the new ones? I thought we had new ones coming.
I don't know. But we love our sponsors. Are you kidding me? Ace Tickets.
Are you kidding me?
Subway.
Dunkin' Donuts one is brand new.
JetBlue. Bank of America. Dunkin' Donuts.
We McDonald's.
We have the best sponsors in the world.
Samsonite.
Yeah.
New York Life Protection Index.
We love our sponsors.
By the way, New York Life, fine life insurance provider. I know from experience. I mean, not experience because I haven't died, so I haven't actually tried to collect. But
yeah. One of those things you don't want to have to use it.
Right.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, wow, now we know why Belichick puts the hammer down on talking. Man, if these expats players were allowed to speak when they were with the team, we wouldn't have won a damn thing. Twitter is making twits of us all. Fun questions for the PFW crew. Let's see if we can get Andy to talk fast, Fred to swear, and Paulie to say, I was going to say. Ready? Who's the better third option in the Pats offense, Chad Ocho or Jabbar Gaffney? I guess Gaffney was.
Well, as of right now, yeah, Jabbar Gaffney.
Sure.
I was going to say Gaffney.
Will the other, and I'll say damn, will the other Gronkowski.
Swear.
No. Will the other Gronkowski ever catch a pass in this offense?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yep. Over under receptions for Matthew Slater, 18.
Under.
Under.
And given the choice, who would you take, Tony Romo or Eli Manning?
Eli Manning.
Yeah, I think Manning probably makes less mistakes in big, you know.
I think
Romo Manning might be more talented, but he makes more mistakes.
I think it's Manning both, but Manning throws a lot of interceptions. There's no question.
I think
he threw 25 last year. I don't think Manning is a choker. I think Romo is a choker, and you cannot win with a choker. I think he shrinks in the moment.
Yep.
I don't think either could play for me. I think
Eli
I
Manning
kick him off the field.
Makes a lot of mistakes, but. I think that it's not because he, you know, gets in a big spot and chokes.
He just makes them.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of them are not really his fault, too. I mean, it's uncanny how many times he throws a well-thrown ball that goes off his receiver's hands right into someone else's.
A lot of his success wasn't exactly his.
Oh, I didn't say. Yeah, I'm not going out of the limb on out on the limb for him either. But I think Romo is a guy that just absolutely he shrinks.
Thus far in his career, you can't argue that.
I've seen more games where he's played well for three quarters and then pooped the bed in the fourth quarter like he did Sunday.
Now, this very well be the year that the Cowboys go all the way and he shakes that monkey. But
maybe I'll change my opinion of him, but he's never won a big
game.
Right
now, I got to agree. You know, and
I think Manning is as talented as anybody. I think Manning has as much talent as his brother.
Well,
he just doesn't have the mind that his brother
has. But I also think when Romo's on, he makes some amazing throws. He can play the game, but like you said, he makes dumb mistakes. Dumb mistakes. And it's not because
they are very similar, though. That's a good question.
Yeah. Let's go to the
kind of goofy.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline here, 508-298-0398. Rob in Ottawa. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. It's a beautiful day up here. I don't usually listen to the show live, but I've just been thinking you guys are presenting visual images that are just outstanding.
Thank you.
Yeah, the other day you were talking about poaching the coaches, and I just had this image of Belichick in a hot tub. And today you're talking about, was it Andy was talking about sucking chocolate chips at a cookie?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's sucking. Oh, I thought you said something else. You had a
yeah, so did I. I was like, wait, what?
No, no, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
But listen, this whole visual image thing, I think, is really come along well. I've been reading Eric's postcard.
So. You're the one.
What? I don't have any problem with Eric's postcard.
No, I like it, too. I'm just teasing. It is good. We like that he does that.
He's a big enough target for it.
Yeah. Especially his nose.
Listen, there was one thing about the game, and then I was listening to the podcast last night, and something that Fred said, and that was about, you know, are the front four really working well with the linebackers yet? And what is it going to take to make sure that if something gets past the front four, how are the linebackers really going to pick up the runner or the pass and so on?
Yeah, I mean, time. Yeah, I mean, what I was saying is, you know, we're focusing a lot on, because there's such, you know, newness there, the front four, but are we forgetting that, you know, the linebackers are the middle of this defense, and should we also be looking with a critical eye to their performance as well?
Sure.
But
it's going to take time.
I'd like to hear a little bit more discussion about that. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. What a pleasant phone call.
He really was.
A pleasant fellow.
He was very like professorial. Like you sat down in office hours to chat about something and the visual images.
Well, that's good. I mean,
usually when I sat down in office hours, it didn't go well.
Paul, I have read this paper before and I looked it up and you actually took it out of a magazine.
It didn't go that badly, but
I mean, no, the best radio is painting those pictures for people, and just like a good book. You know, you draw up a visual image for people.
But in all seriousness, the run fits that they always talk about aren't the easiest thing in the world, especially in a new defense that's more aggressive with more moving parts. You think about it, physically, I think the 3-4 was more demanding. Boom, you got to own this guy physically. You need to control him without picking a side, without getting pushed around.
He wants to move you.
But you know exactly what you're doing. You're controlling your right hand and your left hand. You got to be able to control those gaps. That's what you're doing. In this, you have more movement, you have more penetration, you have more slants and some games going on. So your gap responsibilities can change, especially for the linebackers,
right?
Where all of a sudden it's the front side A, it's the back side B, and there's more going on. I think that's going to take some time.
You know,
for these
if a guy's going to come from behind and stunt, shoot a gap to your left, you have to know that. You have to know he's going to be coming.
Right. When you're coming and shooting a gap.
Oh, see now. You know, Rob would not appreciate that. Rob,
how do you know? He enjoyed me sucking the chocolate out of a cookie.
He's looking for some good football talk.
And I brought it until you brought it down to a vulgar level.
But I will say that element of the defense I thought was pretty solid the other night with very, very few exceptions.
Against a bad offensive line with a bad running game.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
We understand.
How about Randy Realist?
Look, I can remember a couple plays, you know, talking out loud.
He makes up a new name.
And listen,
Andy doesn't. Listen, the alliteration. I need
I
realist.
I won't name the name.
Oh, I think you know what Andy. The alliteration would follow.
A-hole.
Listen, I won't name the name, but I was sitting next to a Patriot scout the whole game, and
And you knew he worked for us.
And sometimes I would.
So it must have been the guy who he sat next to when he didn't know.
Sometimes I would say something out loud, and he would either confirm or not.
Oh, and, God, you're dragging us down. Now they think you represent us.
And I remember a couple times being impressed with how Haynesworth, even though being double-teamed, was still managed to lean off that block and get in the way of the runner. And
what were you giving, commentary in the press box?
Well, I always talk during the – you know I talk during the game.
Yeah, but I assumed it was us.
Usually when
not
you
to
talk,
anyone who'd listen.
Usually when you talk during the game, it's to lament the fact that whatever running back got the ball for us didn't go 78 yards for a touchdown.
Well, I was doing that too. I was my usual self. I don't change.
Oh, you know? Boy. Now they think we're like him.
Yeah.
You're not there. You're not even one of us on the road anymore. You're
I was waiting.
Back home
I was
doing,
waiting for that.
You know, radio.
I was waiting for that.
You know,
I'm more of a personality now than I am a writer.
Yeah, I came to the
you don't want that to become the fact.
What do you mean?
You're hired to write.
Oh, I know. I still write. I do a fine job.
Yeah, writing. I know. Can we eliminate that part of it?
I know that would be fun, but you know. That is kind of why you're here.
Let's just morph it into a pregame and postgame show.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
I'm not willing to put all my eggs in the pregame social.
We'll kick Pac-Man out. We'll let him host it. Andy and I just come in as the analysts.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brian's in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Can't you tell?
Yeah, I can. it's funny when you sit on hold, man. You just start thinking of more topics you want to discuss when you get on.
You want to start with porn? Is that your first of the day?
No, actually, I was referring to the comment about the commercial.
Yes.
And they are a little brutal, but I understand. I mean, obviously, commercials have to be there.
Got
to
pay the bills. You
need your breaks. But can we just make sure we monitor the sound levels of those?
Okay.
It just, that's the screaming in the commercials is what's brutal.
You had a good show going, Matt. Evidently, you dropped the ball on the sound levels of the commercials.
Yeah, it just, you need to be careful with that because the commercials, I don't know, for some reason your advertisers love to have people screaming in them.
But that's how it is everywhere. That's how it is on TV, too. I yell at the TV all the time because you're watching a show and then the commercial comes on.
I thought was a new law that you couldn't do that.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It happened the other night.
They don't enforce it. At all.
No, it was, the game. We were watching the game and it was, the game was fine.
Blaring.
And it was like five times as loud when it went to the commercial.
Well, Kevin also had it up at like
He did. For some, I don't know why he needs to have the volume.
But they were still louder. The commercials were still louder than
I do.
The game.
I feel like I've morphed into my father. I'm like, can you turn that racket down? I mean, he has it blaring to the point where it's distracting to the game.
Painful.
What else you got, Brian? You said you had all these topics. Let's go.
Quick.
No, I don't want to take up too much time. Like most listeners, I'd rather listen to you guys than the callers.
Okay.
But a quick question, though, because a friend of mine, he doesn't watch football often, but he brought up a question on something that I've always wondered about. You know those straps that the players wear right above their elbows, right at the bottom of their bicep?
Yes.
And it's just a strap. It's not like a... Yeah, what's the point of that?
Well, there's two different ones. I'm not sure which you're talking about. The diva players wear armbands there that are strictly for looks. But the other one is attached to their shoulder pad and limits the range of motion on the shoulder for guys with shoulder issues, separated shoulders, things of that
nature. No, but there is also the band that you wear above the elbow or knee, and it is supposed to have some type of medical thing.
No, the one on the knee holds your patella in place. That's a totally different thing.
But it looks the same way.
It's not. The one on your elbow is just for looks. It's purely Diva Nation. It's Deion Sanders straight on through.
Really?
But that's a skinny one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're talking...
That's exactly.
Okay.
But does it do anything?
No.
I mean, does it
make them look cool? No.
My theory was that it maybe helps, flexing of the bicep.
Well, they do it like the Ultimate Warrior used to, make his arms look bigger, and the Rockers, and all those guys. It's purely for looks.
And Andy would know.
But it does, exactly.
Because I look good, you should just assume that I try to look this way.
I think we found out yesterday that you don't look as good as you think you do.
Well, that's true.
From that reader, that listener that wrote in.
All right.
One other quick thing, just real curious, because I'm getting kind of annoyed with this whole Brewski thing.
Me too.
Brewski, Ocho Cinco, whatever. I'm kind of disappointed with his performance as well. But I'm kind of curious because I really hyped up the potential of this defense this year. And I was kind of, how did we really feel about the performance of that line? I mean, I really expected a little more domination.
Well,
me
too. I think they played well against the run. It's hard to say after one game because Miami is what it is. Who knows? Miami might go on to have a good running attack this year. We just don't know. But I think that they looked okay against the run. We would have liked to see pressure get there sooner. But they did have this Patriots spread out for a lot of the game. So, we'll see.
I want more domination.
I'm not panicking. I think this defense is going to be fine.
I wanted to see Chad Henne look like Freeman.
Not panicking, but I really thought that this could potentially turn into like the 2007 type of defense. What the offense was in 2007, I thought that this line could almost transform us. But
well, that's what we're hoping. And don't give up on that.
Well,
don't give up on that.
The 2007 offense was from day one dominant, record setting.
That's exactly my point.
Offense was, yeah.
That's what he's talking about. He thought this defense could be like that, where these new pieces come together and just dominate.
Yeah, that would
shut them down.
Right. Well, I'd give up on that.
That would be 85 Chicago Bears type defense.
Right.
No.
Yeah, what we saw against Tampa. I think we were all.
I don't think you have the talent for that to happen, though.
I don't know.
I don't think these. I mean, these. Too many 30-something-year-old guys on that defense
Albert
for it to be that kind of
a...
We have the numbers. We have the rotation.
But
yeah, I don't think
you
have the talent.
The talent at linebacker is not good enough, in my opinion. The talent
safety?
At defensive end, not good enough. Talent at safety. And we might overrate the talent at corner.
I mean, you started the game the other night with Mike Wright. I mean, no disrespect to Mike Wright, but, I mean, that's not a dominant defensive lineman.
But, I mean,
Thanks for the call,
he
Brian.
He started over Haynesworth, okay. So Haynesworth should be the starter.
At this stage, I'm not sure Haynesworth is that guy. He's a part-time player.
If these guys don't
Sean
play
Ellis,
up to their resumes,
not gonna,
then
you know,
no, you're not going to be that.
Those I
guys
still
aren't
think
they're
be finding
dominant.
Out who can do what. I think Bill, but the, like wait, he said, it
you're
takes
arguing,
you 4 or 5 games before you really know
but
your
But you're
team.
Arguing two different things.
Did it take you 4 or 5 games to know the 2007 offense, or did they come out and show you we're going to blow people out?
I think you still needed to know exactly what was going on.
Yeah, no. They were blowing people out. Yeah, they were scoring 48 points or whatever the hell the number
38,
was.
38, they scored the first 3 games in a row,
Randy Moss had 180 yards receiving. You knew right away, ooh, this,
yeah,
this is pretty good.
But my point about the
and
defense
you know
is, and I said it earlier,
yeah,
and Andy said the same thing, I think they're going to get better, I think, with all the new parts. It's
hopefully.
Obviously an adjustment period, but I don't think there's a potential to be dominant defensively. First of all, I'm not sure that any defense in the NFL today can be dominant. It's just ridiculous the way these teams move the football, the way they spread you out. They all throw it, and if you have a great pass rush, you do a lot of 3-step drops and short passes and
what about
quick,
the first quarter
reads.
In Tampa?
Right. If
yeah,
you,
I mean, I
if
think
you have a competent quarterback, good coaching can overcome most defenses.
I think you got caught off guard in that game if you're Tampa Bay with the intensity level and the lack of game planning and whatnot. I would not expect to see that on a consistent basis too many games.
Either, I was hoping we'd be trending in that direction.
Well, I wanted to see some of the blitzing that you saw that night, and really the only time that we saw really any pressure, I thought they had to do things like that to get there. But I do think they'll get better. I think there's more talent defensively on this roster than I think they've had in recent years, and certainly you go back to 07.
Sure.
I don't think they had that much talent.
Quick email before we get into picks, and I know we didn't get to all the emails. They're in the queue. John will be here for Patriots Playbook, so he'll certainly get to any of the emails that we didn't get to. A lot of people, we didn't even talk about Brady's comments, which kind of is good because that was ridiculous. But, you know, John will be here. All those emails he'll get to. Derek writes and he says, I was really excited about the new Patriots app you guys will be releasing shortly and was curious on how I could help the show. You know, all us Marblehead guys have money, so I decided to get an iPad. I figured
nice.
I could do it for school, too. For the few days I actually go.
That's one of those things where you pretend it's for work, like,
right.
Oh, I had to get the iPhone for work, but then you're like using the iPod, you're playing games, you're doing all other stuff.
I can't wait for the app. It sounds awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Hope you guys are doing well. I'll talk to you soon. Yeah, the iPad app is actually going to be submitted today to Apple.
Ooh.
So as quick as they can.
Is that what you were doing this morning?
Yeah, so they can. It could take 2 days. It could take 2 weeks, depending on Apple. But it'll be out there soon, so we're really excited about it. All right, so we're going to
take an
transition.
Annoying commercial break.
Why don't we
reset? Not going to take a break.
Well,
we're
why don't we reset? So maybe we give Eric a couple of minutes to get here.
Well, I didn't want to go. Can we? Do you have a? Do you have a short break? Like a real short one that
why
like just a couple
short?
Commercials
and make sure it's not too loud.
Okay, so we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with the NFL picks.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the 6th one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You asked.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
So once again, we give out the phone number when people aren't supposed to call, because now it's time to go around the NFL.
It's just letting them know that on a normal day,
I know,
if someone's on the phone, you can still call. We can take multiple calls.
Eric's here.
Leave Matt alone. He's doing a much better
Eric,
job.
Eric, it's been a real fast-paced and lively show, and Rob in Ottawa really likes your
demeanor.
Postcards.
Oh, good.
From the road.
Is my mic on?
Nope.
No.
No. Matt.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Thank you. Who was it that
Robin Ottawa.
Robin Ottawa
Real
called
nice,
to say how much he liked
nice
your
guy.
Postcards.
Sounded like a professor, like a 50-something sweater vest type.
A very pleasant fellow.
He was. He was
good.
Very nice.
Thank you.
He was a nice man.
Yep. He liked me talking about sucking chocolate out of cookies.
Really?
But when he said sucking, it didn't sound like
didn't
an
sound
S.
Like it?
No. No.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, it sounded bad.
Like an
yeah, we got worse.
F?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Any practice update for us?
Yes. Lee Bodden returns. He had the back injury that kept him out yesterday. He was back.
Hey.
Back
need
from
him.
The back.
They're going to need him.
That's right. And obviously Dan Copen wasn't out there. but nor Mike Wright still.
Yeah, he's
not a laughing matter with him.
He's done.
Not a laughing matter with him. Hasn't been announced.
Spikes?
Yeah, he's been out there.
Okay.
Right,
he's
gonna,
been healthy.
I'm
going to
reiterate this.
Right.
Spikes is not injured. Hasn't been on the injury report.
Healthy? Scratch.
Just want to reiterate that for the listeners.
All right.
Yep.
Because you keep saying he's hurt.
He's hurt, but it's up here.
It's his pride.
It's that one cut deep. Right in the middle there, yeah. Shorts and shells again. And hasn't been officially announced yet, but Thomas Welch is back with the team wearing the same number 66 he wore yesterday or the other day, whenever it was.
That is correct.
Seems like practice squatter Nick McDonald.
That is also correct.
And his cup of coffee are finished, at least for now. But these things change so quickly, you know, who knows, he could be back.
Fluid situation.
Yeah, could be.
Okay.
Not in the knee, just fluid.
All right.
And so there you go.
Anything else? You know, stretching? Who looked good in stretching?
They all seem to get it done, Fred.
Okay.
Loose.
Yeah.
Did you notice how, you guys may not have seen it because you weren't on the road, but did you notice?
That's, about, about the fourth reference to that.
Did you notice, Eric, how Miami stretched? Instead of like spreading out, they did two columns down the middle of the field.
They did it differently, and the Patriots are doing it differently this year. They have, you know, the running lines across, and then they break up into positional groups instead of last year when they would, or for several years, where they used to just line up along the yard lines in order of, basically in order of seniority. But that,
yeah,
captains
not, and then
not exclusively, but it was mostly in that order.
That a Harold Nash thing? Just wants to be different than
putting
Mike Wojcik?
Putting
his own signature on things.
All right, well, we got to hurry because it's a full slate of NFL games. Bye week hasn't kicked in yet.
That is correct.
Let's start with...
Okay, last week, real quick.
Yeah. I think I won, right?
Sure. No. I won.
What?
I went 11-5. Andy went 10-6. Eric and Fred were 9-7.
But when it matters...
With the spread, Andy was 7-7-2, and the rest of us was 6-8-2.
Wow. I only went 9-7?
Correct.
Everybody sucked. I mean, in the paper, on here, tough opening week.
I would have taken an 11-5 in the paper.
I think week 2 was
April. I was happy, though. My upset of the week, Chicago won.
That that was one of your victories.
Yeah, on the plane, Freddie, we kept having updates because new addition this year to the charter flight. We actually get live CBS and Fox now.
Nice.
So we can watch games. Last week we did. Hopefully that continues.
I don't want to rip Ocho Cinco for tweeting, but did you notice he tweeted on the flight out? He was giddy about the TVs in every headset and the availability of movies and all this stuff.
Well, the Bengals have to take buses.
Well, I thought they might have taken the train.
My assumption was it's such a dramatic upgrade from what he was used to in Cincinnati. I pictured like one of those military planes where you're strapped to the side of the plane and like it's a cargo.
The cargo
plane.
And they don't stop. You just have to jump out. When you
it's a wagon train.
We're over Dallas.
Wagons, you know.
Last stop.
They have to start on Monday to get to the next game.
Line up, then you got to hook up like you're parachuting out.
Right.
The green light goes on.
He had some lineman says, I'm not jumping out there.
All right. Well, we do have to hurry.
Over the PA. What are you, some kind of pansy?
We don't want to step on the playbook.
But we will.
But we will.
But we'll tell him to wait if we have
all right,
to.
What
outside.
What are we leading off with? What are we leading off with?
Let's start with Oakland cross-countrying it to Buffalo. Buffalo coming off a big – actually, both teams coming off big wins. Oakland against Denver. Buffalo decimating
short week
Kansas
for
City in Kansas City.
With a road game, too.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Sunday, 1 o'clock. What do you got for the points?
3.5, Buffalo.
3.5.
3.5.
Buffalo. I am going to take the Oakland Raiders to come cross-country and get the job done to start the year 2-0. I am going to go with my guy, Darren McFadden, who I was clearly wrong on. He's the best athlete on the field many times.
Boy, he looked good.
He's big. He's fast. He doesn't go down quite as easily on the first little ankle flick that he used to in college.
Great
vision. If he can stay healthy, he is going to have a phenomenal, phenomenal season.
Wow.
He will have a big game against the Buffalo Bills. I'm not buying the Bills.
They don't call him Andy 180 Hart for nothing. Boy.
How? I give you credit, Andy.
When you're wrong, you're wrong.
It's about time you admit
it. The bleeping
it. It's about
guy
time.
Can play.
It took 11 years, but
why don't
you did admit
it. Try it sometime.
I do it all the time. You want to have the Richard
well,
Seymour
not,
spot
I'm,
played back for
I'm just
you?
Not as wrong as often as you are, so I don't have as many opportunities.
You just don't admit it as often as I do.
I'm not going to be fooled by the Monday night performance by the Raiders. I'm going to take
Fitzpatrick
and the Bills.
You're going to be fooled by
I'm
the
gonna
Sunday
fooled by
afternoon
the
other,
performance. The Sunday afternoon performance, exactly. They're at home. Oakland, short week, having to go cross-country. I'll take the Bills and the points, my friend.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the back-to-back road games coming off a short week, but I think Oakland is a better team, and I am going to take the Raiders here. I think the Bills are going to have to prove that they can do it 2 weeks in a row with that run defense. And they did a good job against Kansas City. They got the lead, and they were able to take Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones out of the game, but let's see if they can do it 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to take Oakland on the road.
I'm with Paul, but I have to say I was impressed with Fitzpatrick, just the poise he had in the pocket, you know, the way he was throwing the ball. He looked confident. He looked like one of those guys that now he gets it.
He always gets it for short stretches.
Well,
can he get it for 16 games?
Well, we'll see.
It's like he got it against us last year in the first game, and he looked clueless in the second game.
Well,
I don't
that's
know.
Why he
I don't
is
know
who
what
he is.
Yeah, well, he looked okay, but I'm going to go with Oakland. I'm with Paul, and Buffalo's got to prove it to me.
Quick question. C.J. Spiller going down Busville? He just doesn't have enough big plays.
He doesn't seem
He's supposed
like,
to be dynamic. He's worse than what Bush was as a disappointment. At least Bush wasn't huge plays,
similar.
But he was having 100 catches.
Very similar situations.
Spiller,
same
to me,
kind of guy.
Also changing the way I think the next time one of these guys comes along that's supposedly such a dynamic athlete, you just have to take him in the top five, I might say. Eh,
I'll wait for the second round to get Reggie Cobb.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. You seen that?
What are you pointing at?
NFL Eric? Network has been dressing up statues in the Boston area with hoodies and stuffing the stomachs to make it look like Belichick.
Are they saying Bill's a stiff?
I don't know what they're saying, but they have a Football Life premiering tonight.
That's true.
NFL Network.
Green Bay at Carolina, Sunday at 1.
Green Bay by 10.
Ooh. Green Bay by more than 10.
Who is Cam Newton?
A great athlete, but not a great winner yet. He will put up some sensational plays, but that defense is too good. He will have trouble with that Dom Capers D. He'll be pressured athletically. That Packers team is good. Until they have, right now, I'm not going to say they're ready to hit any stumbling blocks. They're ready to play some football. They're going to beat the Pinani.
And let's not forget that Cam Newton faced the Cardinals defense last week and had a phenomenal, you know, opening week for a rookie quarterback. I'm not going to be fooled by that either. I'm going to take the Packers and the points.
And a rookie cornerback. Paul, you want to say his name?
Peterson.
That's what I was looking for. I don't know what it means, but I've heard the stupid reference often enough.
First Bueller's day off.
I'm with the boys here with Green Bay, and I think in a weird way, throwing for 422 yards is going to be the worst thing that could have happened to Cam Newton.
I was going
to
be
teams
overconfident.
Teams are not going to sit there and say, well, it's all vanilla with this guy. Let's make sure we keep him in the pocket. Don't let him do anything. Run it. Now they're going to treat him like a quarterback, and I think Andy's right. I think Dom Capers is going to dial up some stuff. I don't know why I wanted to say Dick LeBeau, but Dom Capers will dial up some things for him that he has not even pretended to see yet.
Prediction.
Pain.
Clay Matthews.
Well done.
Is not going to have that good a year because I feel that he might be off the program. And
I love how we just flippantly from throw last year. The accusations.
Yeah, he's going to have a down year from last year, and I think Green Bay wins the game.
No, I mean the program that he was on last year is not on this year.
The Green Bay wins the game, but does I'll take the points.
You would.
Kansas City at Detroit.
Ooh.
Kansas City at Detroit.
Lions by 8.
Lions by 8. I am going to take the Detroit Lions to win at home. But that's a big number. I'm not gonna lay those points. I'll take the Chiefs to cover. I like that too. I think it'll be a closer game than Kansas City put up at home the week before. But I still like the Lions. I'm still believing in the Lions, so I'll take them to win. Kansas City to cover.
You know they're already talking about the Andrew Luck sweepstakes in Kansas City. How quickly that turns!
Wow,
you're an up and coming team, a playoff. Oh, Andrew Luck.
I told you when Matt Castle doesn't get to play the NFC West, then he's just.
Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him. I actually love
him. Well, it'll be interesting how
you
that.
You seem to take joy in making fun of him and ripping him.
No, I don't.
You do.
I don't think he's that
you
good.
Do.
There's a difference.
You do.
No, there's
you
a
do.
Difference.
Funny how he doesn't look so good when he doesn't play the West.
That's a smarmy, snarky comment, and you don't like him.
I love him. I don't think he's that good.
He
is that fair?
You don't think Andrew Luck's that good?
I don't think Matt Castle's that good.
Oh, Matt Castle.
I don't think Andrew Luck's that good.
But I am going to agree with Andy and Eric and take Detroit to win, Kansas City to cover.
I'm going to take Detroit both ways. I think they bring the heat, and Castle has a terrible game.
Terrible.
Cleveland at the Colts.
Because he hates everybody who doesn't wear a Patriots uniform.
That's true.
You Cleveland, love everybody who doesn't wear a Patriots uniform.
Cleveland by 2.5.
Except Matt Castle.
I love Matt Castle.
He hates everyone that wears a Patriots
That's
uniform.
True. What was it? Cleveland by
2.5.
Over who?
The Colts.
This is a really tough game to pick.
In Indy.
Because you want to, like, you
week
know,
two is the
deem
week
the Colts dead and they're done and they're going to be this laughing stock debacle.
Right.
I am going to go with the Colts. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going with the Colts. Kerry Collins, he'll get the job done.
What are you talking like that for?
I don't know. I just like that John Rook is supporting breast cancer awareness. By eating
yes,
a
with
big
the
cookie,
yes.
Big chocolate chip cookie.
Second week in a row,
it's growing good. His own breasts.
All right, we gotta hurry.
I'm going to, I'm going to go with Colt McCoy. I'm going to go with Colt McCoy on the road to beat the Colts.
Yep.
I am going to take
the
home dog. I'm going to take the Colts to win this game. They had a lot of really freaky things happen to them last week. They allow a long punt return, a fumble inside the 5-yard line. Touchdown pass the Texans threw that went off of a linebacker's hands right to Andre Johnson. I don't think all those freaky things happened to the Colts this week.
Yeah,
they're not that bad.
I got to pick Cleveland. They're my preseason pick to make the playoffs.
Playing the role of the San Francisco
49ers this
right,
year.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think they win this game. All right, Tampa Bay at Minnesota. Tampa Bay at Minnesota.
Vikings by 3.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I am going to take the Vikings to get the job done at home. I'm going to assume Don McNabb will throw for more than 35 yards this week. And I will take the new $90 million man, Adrian Peterson, to run all over the overrated Tampa Bay Bucks, and Josh Freeman won't be able to pull it out of his anal cavity late.
I don't think the Bucks are a great team, but I don't really like McNabb as the leader of the Vikings either. So I say the Vikings continue to stumble and the Bucks get the win.
Yeah, I agree with Andy about the Bucks being somewhat overrated, but I think Minnesota is just bad. I think they're a bad football team, and I think McNabb is done. So I'm going to take the Bucks.
Me too. I think the Bucks' young defense really continues that offensive problem for Minnesota. Chicago at New Orleans.
Saints by 7.
I hate the Bears. I always hate the Bears. I always think they're overrated. I don't care what they did last week. They're making plays on defense, but they're old. They'll break down. Somebody will get hurt this week. Blah, blah, blah. Saints roll.
Saints by 7, you said, Paul?
Correct.
Oh, they'll win by more than that. 10 at least.
Okay, Paul?
Yeah, I like the Saints as well. I was impressed with how they handled that initial adversity in Green Bay. It's a tough environment out there in Lambeau. They fell behind immediately. I think that could have sort of spiraled out of control, and it didn't. And they had a chance to get back in the game late. I think they've made enough plays there that that's going to be a pretty good football team, I think, too.
I think so, too. They lost a heartbreaker, but I think they roll over Chicago. The New Jersey Cockroaches get a gimme hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's the number?
Jets by 9.5.
Nine and a
hay. This will be a good day for the New York Jets. They will roll. This is a gimme. I don't like the Jaguars at all.
I don't either, but you know what? Something tells me the Jets are going to go into this game overconfident, and it's going to be closer than you think. I'll take the Jets to win, Paul. Give me the points.
Okay.
Eric is correct. Jacksonville is not a very good team, but the Jets don't blow anybody out.
Yeah.
They just don't, and they've had trouble with – matter of fact, I think they lost at home to Jacksonville either last year or the year before. I forget which one. I'm going to take the points. I'll take the Jets to win. I'll take the points.
And the Jets don't – you know, this is the second game in a row they've got to play at home. Again, another lucky thing for the New Jersey Cockroaches. But they don't play that well at home all the time.
Yeah, they're only 10-7 under Sexy Rexy.
They should have lost last week at home. And I think they'll win, but like Paul, they won't cover. Seattle at Pittsburgh.
I didn't know I had to cover.
Seattle at Pittsburgh.
Well, Fred's on button today. He's the one that needs to cover.
14 and a half. Pittsburgh by 14 and a half.
14 and a half.
It's a big number. They'll cover it because the Pittsburgh Steelers are a little embarrassed last week by the Baltimore Ravens, and I feel bad for my boy Tavares Jackson, for my boy Pete Carroll,
boy,
and all those Seahawks.
Boy, did he look awful last week.
They are absolutely going
to... Hey, today's Pete's 60th birthday, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday.
That old.
He doesn't look
that old.
He doesn't act it either. He has
compare
a youthful...
him and Bill.
Youthful
one seems
joie de vivre.
One doesn't. But yeah, they beat the hell out of the Seahawks. I feel bad for the Seahawks a little bit.
14 to Hay is a big number, though.
Yeah, when they
Andy.
Beat the hell out of them,
I will take the
number.
Steelers to win.
Just do
give
it.
Give me...
Get off the pot.
No, give me this. Give me the points, too.
I am
sound like it's a big number.
I am with Eric. 14 and a half, too much for anybody right now. I'll take Pittsburgh. I think they'll bounce back, but Seattle will cover.
Ditto.
I am either going to have a really good week against you guys in
against
the spread or
really
bad, because I feel like each of the last like four I've gone different.
Baltimore at Tennessee. Baltimore at Tennessee.
Ravens by 6 on the road.
Ravens will win by more than 6 on the road. I don't want to fall into the trap of thinking they look great, but they looked pretty good on the opener.
They did, and they're going to be better than the Matt Hasselbeck-led Titans. Better than 6.5 or whatever you said, Paul. So I'll take Ravens both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens both ways, too. I was impressed with how they sort of overcame their demons against Pittsburgh. They didn't just beat them. They beat them up.
Yeah, I'm going to go Baltimore.
And that's a rivalry, Fred. There was some serious fights there.
I'm going to
quote Paul Perillo. They didn't just beat them. They beat them up.
I'm going to go with Baltimore
like
as well both
lines.
Ways.
Is that a poll quote?
The final 1 o'clock game is Arizona traveling to D.C. to take on the Redskins. It's really Maryland.
Redskins by 4.
Landover. No. Redskins by 4. I say they win and cover. I might be falling in the trap of a team that looked pretty good. This Armstrong guy, I kind of like. I liked how he played the receiver position, and luckily that's his position, and it'll matter in this game. And I don't buy into Kevin Kolb. I don't buy into that whole Arizona thing.
I really hate Week 2. Week 2 is really the toughest because there are all these trap games.
Not if you
games.
Know the game.
All right,
like
stop
I do.
Whining. But we don't have time.
I'll take the Cardinals in the upset on the road.
All right.
I am with Andy. I think the Redskins, at the risk of putting my eggs in the Rex Grossman basket, they look pretty good.
They did.
Thought they played a pretty good game against the Giants. And I think
now.
They'll win at home against a bad Arizona team.
And Andy picked the Cardinals.
I will go with Washington as well. Sunday,
that's
4
a typo.
O'clock.
That's a typo by him.
No, it's not.
Sunday, 4 o'clock, Dallas at San Francisco.
You made your own picks.
Dallas at San Francisco. What's the spread?
Dallas by 3.
Dallas will win by 3. San Francisco not a very good football team. I don't care if they're at home. And Tony Romo won't be able to blow it.
Yeah, I agree. They'll win by 7 to 10 points, Cowboys.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys in this game. They bounce back after a game that they absolutely should have won.
I'm picking the 49ers out of spite.
spite to who?
Next game, Cowboys.
Dallas for what they did to the Jets. Right. Do you have to have a map drawn for you?
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
I forgot who they played last week.
Cincinnati at Denver. Two of the possibly worst teams in the league.
Denver by 4.5.
I am going to take Denver because they are at home. And I don't think the Bengals are going to win too many football games. And since they've already won one, they're due to not win one for a while.
I tell you what, I'll take the Broncos to win as well, but I'll take the points, too. I think this is going to be a close, ugly, low-scoring game.
And Tim Tebow might play, which will help the Bengals.
No, he ain't playing.
Did you see all this crap? And
the fans might put a billboard up.
I know.
Doesn't he say this is stupid?
There's no way he would start because of that.
But shouldn't he come out and say, you know, we have a head coach. He makes the decisions. I have to have faith in him. Right. I'm trying to – I believe in myself, and when I get an opportunity, but until then, Kyle –
Tebow doesn't answer to Fox. He answers to a higher authority.
Right.
Himself.
Himself, because he's the most fraudulent DB on the planet.
I'm going to go with Denver here. I think
I told you Tiger was a fraud, and Tebow is too.
I think Kyle Orton bounces back and puts up some numbers.
I'm going with Denver because Cincinnati hasn't won two games in a row since the Truman era. Houston at Miami. Houston at Miami.
Houston by three on the road in what I think is a huge game for the Texans.
Houston Texans will win and take care of business on the road. That defensive front will dominate a not very good offensive line that gave the Patriots some problems this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I just think the Houston Texans are the better football team. Arian Foster looks like he's getting healthy practice this week. They have Ben Tate, which I was impressed with in the preseason and in week one. Andre Johnson. Big plays. Houston wins big on the road.
I agree. I don't think Chad Henne's going to look like Dan Marino against this Texans defense. And I think the Texans offense will have enough firepower to get it done by double digits. Give me the Texans both ways.
Yeah, I think Houston's a better team, and but they better win this one. This is the kind of game that they can't win.
Yeah. Good teams beat
What's
the teams
number?
They're supposed to.
Three. Yeah. I'll take the Texans, but not feeling great about it.
Yeah, I'll go with Houston as well. San Diego. Oh, I can't do that one. Got to skip over. Say that for last. Sunday night, Philadelphia at Atlanta.
Philly by 2.5.
Very, very
Battle of the Birds.
This is a big game. For
Eagles
Atlanta.
Going on the road, yes. Yep. Atlanta, Super Bowl pick du jour by many.
Yeah, including me.
Laid an absolute stinker on opening day. What's the number?
2.5.
Oh, I am going to go with the Eagles. I just think they're the better team with more playmakers. And unfortunately for Matt Ryan, he's going to start the year 0-2.
If you tuned in looking for John Rook and Patriots playbook, we're still doing our picks for PFW in progress.
We'll join him in progress momentarily.
I've already begun my show in my head.
So. He's here. He's just patiently waiting for us to finish up here.
And we let him come in.
Nitpicks.
Michael Vick will put on a show in his return to Atlanta, but it won't be enough. Falcons and Matty Ice get it done. Give me the Falcons.
Don't perpetuate that Matty Ice stuff.
I'm taking the ATL.
Why
myself?
Don't you like the Matty Ice?
I don't like it.
I am concerned about the Eagles' ability to keep Michael Vick in one piece. That offensive line is horrific.
And that's where you get your comeback player of the year, Vinsanity.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think Atlanta wins this game.
Right, Rook?
Yeah.
Vinsanity, comeback player.
I'm going to go with Atlanta. Monday
night.
You
cut ties with him. He's one of your boys. Don't give up on him. I haven't cut ties with him. Okay.
Monday night, don't expect the...
he's not Frank Kirk.
Don't expect the fireworks you saw last Monday night. St. Louis at the Giants.
Oh, Giants by 5.5.
Oh, I'll take the Giants to win and cover. St. Louis banged up. My guy's going to play.
Yeah.
Well, Bradford's going to play, but who knows
Your
if
other
he
guy?
Dings that finger again. Hopefully Quinny will play, but Steven Jackson's hurt. Amendola, however the hell you say the little guy's name. Mm. They just don't have enough weapons to be
just
without
go with
weapons.
Jags.
Quinn will have a number of sacks against Manning.
Quinn
but,
will be a healthy scratch.
Winning.
Wow.
I don't like Brandon Spikes.
I don't like this game at all, but I'll take the Giants in a squeaker.
What does that mean?
So it means you're taking the points?
Yeah.
So Giants in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Did you see the terrible play by my boy Bradford when he tried to do the stretch handoff to Steven? No, maybe
not. There was no one there?
And, well, no, a guy kind of, and then he stumbled and he dropped the, he looked the opposite of special.
Oh, that play, yeah.
God,
yeah.
You
Well, isn't that your line when he fumbled the first snap
of the
preseason?
I'm a little worried he's not special.
You're unbelievable.
I'll take the Giants in this game for all the reasons Andy said.
Me
St.
too.
Louis
Giants.
Too
so
Giants.
Quinn will have a bunch of sacks? Because I said that.
No, I meant all the injuries that the Rams have.
Okay, go back to Sunday 4:15.
Oh, wait a minute. All right.
San Diego travels to New England. Big cross country for San Diego. Getting a break because it's a 4 o'clock game. But still, they don't travel well. Do they?
I thought you had done some research.
Chats by 7.
Patriots by 7. That's a big number against a pretty good football team who may not be off to its normal terrible start, even though they had a chance
they
to
They did
lose
have
last
a terrible
week,
start.
They got the job done.
And
when you
win.
Get the job done, you get confidence. They've been circling this game on their calendar for quite some time now. Early in the year, they can prove their mettle. They can start out to a good season, 2-0. A lot of talent on offense. As I said, I'm concerned about the defense. Big receivers down the field.
Yep.
Gates in the middle of the field. Backs out of the backfield. Test you at all three levels. I'm not ready to say this defense is unified
yada, yada,
on
yada,
all three levels.
Okay.
San
pick.
Diego Chargers
Good
come
God
in.
We're going to be having Pete Shepard queued
and
up
as
soon.
Eric would say, they win by 3 to 7 points in Foxborough.
I'll take New England to win, but give me the Chargers with the points. Going to be a close one.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I said they're going to win, Fred.
You also said that they'll never win a Super Bowl again in my era.
Window is
closed. I'm picking the Super Bowl.
I am going to take the Chargers as well. My one concern for San Diego's perspective would be
social ought to be awesome.
Would be the cross country flight. But I think the Patriots, you're coming off a short week, playing in that heat and humidity at a high tempo. I think it took a lot out of them. I think there's some fatigue factor that might come into play. In San Diego, played a bad game, but found a way to win, and I think that is important. If they had lost the game, I would say look out below. They're going to be off to one of those 1-5 starts that they always do. But they found a way to win the game, and I think they find a way to make a statement here, 28-24.
Yeah, I take the Patriots and the points, I mean, covering because...
Don't worry, I already read
this. Because I just think that, like Andy said, San Diego may have circled the Patriots. I think the Patriots circled San Diego. A big team that's going to be in it for the long run this early in the season, you know that they circled this. They'll be just as up for the Chargers as the Chargers are for them. And it's the first home game, you know.
Everybody will be lubed up.
Yeah, I think that no doubt Patriots win, and they cover. All right.
Hi, Jordan Todman, 2 touchdowns for the visiting Chargers.
John Rook is next with Patriots Playbook, followed by Pete Shepard and the Pete Shepard Show at 4 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.